The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Wednesday. It's January 11th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a knife attacker wounded six people in an unprovoked attack in Paris's busy Gare du Nord train station Wednesday morning before being shot by police, the French Interior Minister said, praising the swift intervention of police that helped prevent any fatalities. The knife man attacked several people, including a police officer with a bladed weapon during the morning rush at about 6:43 a.m. Gerald Darmanin told reporters at the scene, flanked by Paris Mayor Anne Hidalgo. He said the unnamed assailant was currently between life and death in the hospital. French media reported that he was shot in the chest. That he thanked police. Darmanin thanked police for the effective and courageous actions that they took. Without the extremely rapid intervention, there would surely be deaths, he said, detailing how the knife man was neutralized within 1 minute of attacking his first victim. Several passengers and a border police officer were among the wounded, according to officials. The officer was stabbed in the back by the assailant, but was saved by a bulletproof vest. Five of the victims sustained light injuries, while one was seriously injured in the shoulder blade and taken for emergency treatment. No specific motive, including terrorism, has currently been suggested by authorities. France remains jittery following a spate of deadly attacks since 2015. The commotion also caused serious disruptions to train service at the station, Europe's busiest rail artery, in the early morning rush hour. After months of heated debate, the Central Bucks School District on Tuesday voted to approve a controversial policy about what can be displayed in classrooms. Policy 321, first introduced in September, would stop teachers from displaying flags or posters in classrooms that advocate for any issue that are not part of their curriculum. The proposal closely followed instances of some Central Bucks School District teachers being asked to take down pride flags displayed in their classroom. The policy was put on hold after the ACLU sued the school board for discrimination against LGBTQ students, which prompted the board to lawyer up and change some language in the new policy. Meanwhile, the school board president defended policy 321, saying the goal is to simply maintain neutrality in class and keep politics out. Critics have claimed just the opposite, arguing that the policy makes a political statement and hurts vulnerable kids. More than 30 people spoke at a standing room only meeting Tuesday night. Many were against the policy. Despite opposition, school board members voted to approve the policy. Those in opposition vowed to continue to push back against policy 321. The Mega Millions jackpot has jumped again after no one matched all numbers in Tuesday night's drawing. Well, there is $1 million that was won in Pennsylvania case.
Okay, maybe I did win.
Maybe. $1.35 billion is now up for grabs, the second largest jackpot in Mega Millions history.
$1 billion.
All right, ready for the numbers? You got your tickets?
All right. Nope. Are you going to start with the Mega Ball?
Hold on.
Getting my goddamn numbers out.
I was asking a question.
All right.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
Okay, let's see if we have $1 million winner.
Okay, here we go.
This will end well.
The numbers drawn Tuesday night. What do you think the odds are, Steve? The numbers drawn Tuesday night were 7.
Nope.
13, 14, 15.
Yes.
18.
Yes.
And the Mega Ball was 9.
I got 13, 18. No Mega Ball.
Okay.
Now you see the efficacy of my percentage right plan, right?
What's that?
It's just like at the lottery, you get you get that percentage of the lottery.
If you get two numbers, you get 2% of the lottery.
Does that make it more fun?
I like it. Yeah. It would definitely make it more fun.
One ticket sold in New Jersey and another sold in Pennsylvania matched 5 numbers, earning them $1 million each. The next drawing will be on Friday the 13th. Tuesday night's one.
Oh my God! It'll be horrible luck. No one will win.
Tuesday night's $1.1 billion jackpot was the 5th largest in lottery history.
Two numbers gets you nothing, right?
I don't remember.
Under my plan, Nick.
All right, man.
Under my plan, you'd be doing quite nicely.
When am I going to elect you king?
I know.
I've been trying. I thought it was you had to have all numbers to win something, and then obviously you get the big prize if you get the Mega Ball.
I'm going to go one step further. I think intent should be considered.
Well, the million dollar winner you said got 5 numbers. So, yeah.
Right.
So, Nick
asked you don't win anything for 2 numbers, right? Like you
know. No, there are certain things like you win $2 if you get two of them correct, or you might win. Sometimes I've had $5 ticket wins, stuff like that.
I don't even know how. Like, so do you take your how do you find out if you've won anything? Like, if
when you go when you go to point of purchase, you see these little barcodes right here?
Yeah.
There's a little scanner, and you hold it up to it, and it'll say, I'll tell you what the refrain is. It says, your ticket is... And then a little pause, not a winner. Uh-huh.
So you could go back downstairs where you bought that and they have a scanner? Okay.
Yep. Yeah, all right. So here we go. If you just have the Mega Millions ball or the Mega Ball, it's $2. If you have one, a number, and then the Mega Ball, it's $4. Two numbers and the Mega Ball is $10. Two numbers on its own, which is what Preston and I have, nothing.
I think percentage of the overall jackpot is the way it's...
Yeah, and Steve's right. But and then three numbers, that gets you $10, and then from there on up, you can make some money.
To be honest, I didn't know. Even that, even being recouped for the cost of your tickets, is not bad.
That's fun. Not bad, yeah.
But none of us got that.
Yeah. And nobody won the jackpot, so there will be another drawing on Friday. All right, in sports this morning... The Sixers beat the Detroit Pistons, winning easily 147-116 last night in South Philly.
They did it!
With his injured left foot feeling better, Joel Embiid returned with 36 points and 11 rebounds in only 24 minutes on the court. James Harden added a second straight triple-double with 16 points, 15 assists, and 12 rebounds and only played in three quarters of the game. The Sixers are at home again tomorrow night with the game against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Tip-off will be at 7 o'clock. The Flyers, who have won five out of their last six games, are at home tonight and will host the Washington Capitals. The puck will drop at 7 o'clock. And Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni said he's optimistic that the team will get edge rusher Josh Sweat back on their back for their playoff opener. Sweat was carted off of the field and briefly hospitalized after suffering a neck injury in the game against the Saints on New Year's Day. Sirianni said yesterday, I know he's feeling better. He made a push to play last week. We felt like it wasn't in the best interest to play last week health-wise, but we're really hopeful and we really feel good that he'll be back. Sweat had a great season with a career-high 11 sacks. His 8.5 sacks since week 9 was the fifth most in the league. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thanks much, Kath. So Wednesday morning, a few things that are taking place today. We'll do a little TV action with Fox Good Day later on, and that will be around 7:55. We also have a secret text word today. We have your opportunity to win a 4-pack of tickets for the Philadelphia Wings home opener. And by the way, that is this Saturday at the Wells Fargo Center. So go ahead and text the word secret to 39333, and you just might win a little bit later on this morning. We also have some guests on the program, or a guest on the program, Tommy Davidson.
Yeah.
Scheduled to stop by. Was there a potential that he might not make it?
Well, he's talking about that last night. He's taking the red eye in to Newark, New Jersey. So he's driving down from Newark. So he should be here, but just in case he's running a little late, that's probably why.
He's playing at World Cafe Live tonight, and tickets available at worldcafelive.com. So Tommy is scheduled to be here around 9 o'clock this morning. So looking forward to meeting with him. And also, we can now mention this, and we'll go into some detail a little bit later on, but the Cardboard Classic 2023 registration is up and running and ready to go now. So you can do that. All right. So we want you to go ahead and get registered. If you have a sled, it's Friday, March 3rd. And it will be, of course, this year at Montage Mountain. This is our first time doing this in Scranton. And there are thousands of dollars in cash prizes to be won. There is a concert that's taking place at night. Mountain Fest, actually 2 days, March 3rd and 4th. But that night, after we get the event going, and once the event is done, Everclear plays at 5 p.m.
That's so cool.
It's going to be awesome. Yes. Man. So details available at WMMR.com for a complete list of information. You can also, we'll send you a link. If you text the word cardboard to 39333, you can get all the information that way.
The concept of it going on and continuing is really cool because, you know, formally everything kind of wrap up, you know, at a certain point in the day.
Yeah.
That this continues is fantastic the whole weekend.
Loving it. So information at the website so you can now register, get on that, and we would love to see you there for that event. We're going to take a place. We'll come take a break. We'll come back in a moment.
It's Wednesday.
I know it is. And the Golden Globes were last night, so we've got to recap. Yay. Some of those things in the entertainment report. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok. And probably other places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals.
Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So we're going to give away, by the way, for a stupid question this morning, tickets to the Philadelphia Auto Show. We're going to give you four of them. That's for January 28th through the February 5th. That's when it's taking place. PA Convention Center. So the question I have for you this morning, how many numbered colored balls are there in standard billiards? All right, 215-263-WMMR. Call if you know the answer. How many numbered colored balls are there in standard billiards? So it doesn't include the cue ball.
Right.
215-263-WMMR is the number. Yes, Kathy, you wanted to mention
something?
Do you
want me to mention it?
Sure, I don't know why not?
Okay, yeah. So apparently all U.S. flights were delayed at 5:31 a.m. this morning. Over 400 were delayed within, into, or out of the United States. They're not sure the connection right now, but the FAA system that alerts pilots and other flight personnel about hazards or any changes at airport facility services, any type of like procedures that alerts them of all of that, that was down, and they're not sure if that was the reason, but at 5:31, 400 flights were delayed because of it.
Whoa.
So that's really all the information that's out there right now. But
right.
So if you're flying, check your flight before you go to the airport.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks for the heads up on that. We'll go through some birthdays while we await the answer to the stupid question. Today is the 11th day of January, and Amanda Peet, the actress, has her birthday. I only have a few birthdays today, just a handful of them. She is 51 years old today.
I've always liked her, though. I've heard she can be difficult.
Yeah, who was it? We knew somebody that that had a run-in with
her. It's kind of a pain in the ass, but I don't know. That was years ago. Maybe she's just sunshine and wonderfulness now.
Yeah, who knows? But she's great. What's the movie? Something's Gotta Give.
Yes.
I like her in that. Saving Silverman. She's in that
She's terrific in that. 2012, the disaster movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
51 today. Kim Coles, who was on In Living Color.
We had her in the studio.
And Living Single, yes.
Yeah.
She turns 61 years old today. She's a lovely person.
Lovely person. Wonderful person.
Yeah.
Very funny, Preston.
Also told...
Love to watch her and her husband have sex.
Wow. Oh, that's right. Your humiliation.
Yeah, humiliation.
Also celebrating birthday today, a member of Yes. He's Tony Kaye.
Yeah.
He took over for... Rick Wakeman on the keyboards and had a stint in Yes. He turns 77 years old today. Great band, obviously. And the lights just went out in the studio.
What the F is going on?
Dude, if we don't have the goddamn microphones turning off, it's the lights.
Did we pay our rent?
Yeah,
it is falling apart around
here. Do we even
here?
Work here anymore?
Yeah.
I mean, we on the air?
Come on.
I swear to God.
And Preston, there's a cockroach on your forehead.
We weren't allowed to do anything to these the walls of this studio because it was all like new and everything looks sleek and everything. Remember that? Couldn't hang anything.
We should start hanging stuff.
we're just ripping this. I mean, I would much rather rip these strips off of the wall.
I said that.
And then you'll see that wood. Like,
no, you have to get under it to see it.
Yeah, like the
but
top
that's the
one,
least of our
it.
Problems.
Yeah.
Top one, maybe.
Our lights are shutting off.
Yeah, there are parts of the walls that are falling off here in our studio.
Oh, my God.
So.
Our pets' heads are falling off!
Tony Kaye has a birthday today. He's 77. Kyle Richards, or is it Kyle? I'm sorry, Kylie Richards. Yes.
Kylie.
She is one of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, but she's been in a bunch of movies and TV shows throughout the years as well. She's 54 years old.
She
had, like,
Escape from Witch Mountain, and she was, wasn't she?
Who is Meatballs?
Different person.
Is she the mother?
Different person.
Okay.
I looked her up just to make sure, because I thought the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I forgot that gal's name, but when she was a little kid, I had a total crush on her. We're about the same age. But Richards was in... this is a picture of her.
Okay.
Steve, so.
Is she her daughter?
I think they're sisters because there's Kim Richards, who is also
That's
in that
it.
Show.
That's
who
it.
I'm thinking
and she
of.
Was in like Meatballs 2.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Now we're
and,
getting Richards down.
There was one reality show called Diving with the Stars.
Yes.
And
masterpiece.
Kim Richards' dive, Kathy, was literally jumping off of the high dive.
Oh, I kind of remember this.
But Kylie Richards was in other stuff, and I don't remember what, and who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
Cody Simpson, singer/actor,
And that's all I have to say about that.
What an amazing resume.
26 years old today.
At least theoretically.
And then the last birthday is Mary J. Blige, one of the great R&B singers. She's 52. And also, she's a solid actress in Umbrella Academy. She's great.
And she's amazing in one of my favorite movies. The, what is that, that rock and roll, the one with Tom Cruise?
Oh, Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Man, is it
that
terrible.
Is a train wreck that I can't turn away from.
I love it. It's a really good bad movie.
It's fantastic. It's right up there with Burlesque.
So she's 52 today. All right, we'll see if someone knows the answer to this question. I'm sure they do. How many numbered colored balls are there in standard billiards? 215-263 WMMR. We will go to Michael to see if he knows the answer. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, how many numbered colored balls are there in standard billiards, please?
Is it 15?
It's 15. Yeah. Hey, old buddy. Four-pack of tickets to the 2023 Philadelphia Auto Show, January 28th through February 5th. PA Convention Center, and there's over 30 indoor vehicles in motion at the PA Convention Center. It's at Camp Jeep, by the way, E-Track, and for the first time ever, the Ram Track, and you can experience the ride. Tickets at Philly Auto Show. .com to get those. All right, Golden Globes were last night. Knew they were coming up. I just didn't know they were last night. Found out this morning. How about that? They were back on NBC last night. This year's show could be streamed live on Peacock as well. It was hosted by Jared Carmichael. The big winners, and I'll run through all of them, and we'll play some clips from people. The big winners of the evening included Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Fabelmans, and The Banshees of Inisherin. For film, and Abbott Elementary and White Lotus for television. So they took home a ton of awards. So let's, here, I'll roll through these and then we'll play the clips.
Yes, right? Why not?
So all the winners are as follows. Best Motion Picture Drama is The Fabelmans.
Which was, they were saying, could have been overlooked this year, and a big win for Spielberg.
Best Motion Picture Musical or Comedy went to The Banshee of Inisherin. Best TV Series Drama, House of the Dragon.
Mm.
Best TV Series Musical or Comedy, Abbott Elementary. Best Performance by an Actor in a TV Series Drama, Kevin Costner for Yellowstone.
Kevin!
Best Limited Series, Anthology Series, Motion Picture Made for TV, White Lotus. Best Performance by an Actor in Limited Series for TV was Evan Peters for Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story. Best Performance by an Actress in Limited Series for TV was Amanda Seyfried for The Dropout. Best Performance by an Actress Supporting Role for TV was Jennifer Coolidge for The White Lotus. Best Performance by an Actor in Supporting Role in a TV Limited Series went to Paul Walter Hauser for Blackbird. Best Director Motion Picture did go to Steven Spielberg for The Fabelmans. Best Screenplay Motion Picture went to Martin Dunagh, McDonough for The Banshees of Inisherin. So obviously those were big movie winners.
Big night.
Best Performance for an Actress in a Motion Picture went to Cate Blanchett for Tar.
She wasn't there, but yeah, but that, they're saying that is the odds-on favorite to take the Oscar.
And then, let's see here. Best Performance by an Actor in a Motion Picture Drama went to Austin Butler for Elvis.
Which I love.
Best Performance by an Actress in Motion Picture Musical or Comedy went to Michelle Yeoh for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Performance by an Actor, Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy went to Colin Farrell for The Banshees of Inisherin. Performance by an Actress, TV Series, Musical, or Comedy went to Quinta Brunson for Abbott Elementary.
So cool.
That's
huge.
Performance by an Actor, TV Series, Musical, or Comedy went to Jeremy Allen White for The Bear. Did he play the main character?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. Let's see. Best Performance by an Actor, Supporting Role, TV, Musical, Comedy, Drama Series, Tyler James Williams for Abbott Elementary. Angela Bassett won Best Actress in a Supporting Role, Motion Picture of Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. And that makes the first cast member actor category who's won in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah,
won the Golden Globe.
That's pretty amazing.
That's huge.
Yeah. DC won before then because Heath Ledger, well, did he win the Golden Globe? I know he won the
He won the Oscar. I think he won the Golden Globe.
But for the Marvel Universe, this is the first statue that an actor has taken home. They've won other accolades before. Best Performance by an Actor in Supporting Role in any motion picture went to Ke-Hee Kwan for Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Which is so cool.
Yeah. His acceptance speech was awesome.
It was terrific.
You know, do we have that?
We don't. We should play it, though.
Yeah, I heard it was great. I have a transcript of some of it. Best performance by an actress, supporting role, TV, musical, comedy, drama, TV series went to Julie Garner for Ozark. And then actress in a TV series or drama went to Zendaya for Euphoria, by the way. So let's play some of the clips that we have here. We have a whole bunch of them.
Now, remember last year, they didn't have them. They just announced the winners. They totally didn't do an award show at all.
That's correct.
Right. Oh. And so this was a return.
So Jared Carmichael talks about that being back in his as a role as host. So here we go. Here's a clip from him.
I'm here because I'm black. I'll catch everyone in the room up. The Golden Globe Awards did not air last year because the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, which I won't say they were a racist organization, but they didn't have a single black member until George Floyd died. So do with that information what you will. So I did what I do when I have a moral, racial dilemma. I called the homegirl Avery. They asked me to host the Golden Globes.
What should I do?
And I told her about how last year didn't air because of the no black people thing. And she was like, well, how much are they paying you? And I said, well, Avery, it's not about the money, honestly. It's about the moral question of whether I should allow. And she said, Gerard, enough of that. How much are they paying you? And I said, $500,000. And she said, boy, if you don't put on a good suit and take them white people money.
So that was the payoff. But that whole thing went on for like 8 minutes. Like, he had such a casual delivery, like the audience kept getting noisy, so much to the point where, like, there are points where he would actually say, shut the F up.
Okay.
And he actually went up into the audience later, and he has a very laid back style. I haven't seen his, I saw him on SNL. I thought he did a great job, but he's up in the whole mix. Cause you remember they're sitting at tables, they're eating, yeah, they're drinking. And, man, the room noise was loud.
Okay.
And he was, like, talking over the room. He's on air, yep, presenting the show, yep, and he's having to talk over the noise.
Yeah, I guess, has he ever hosted anything before? I mean
his own show.
There's a certain style to it when you're live in front of an audience, and you've got to keep it entertaining.
Right, so he took the tact of, I'm going to go low, and they're going to all be drawn in. But no, there's liquor being served, so you got to override that.
All right, Jennifer Coolidge had trouble pronouncing some names, and she touches on that in this clip. We ready?
Yep.
All right, here we go.
I think my biggest nightmare is really, it's just the pronunciation of people's names. You know, once I say someone's name the wrong way, I'm screwed. I am screwed. I can't do it. Like, you hear it that one way and you can't undo it. And I was at a dinner party one night with, I'm not kidding, I sat next to Bill Nye. And every time someone came to the table, I was like, this is Bill Nye. And I, Nye. You know, and then, but get this, I'm serious. Across from me was Kaylee Coco. And it was just, you know, it's just a disaster. You know?
Oh, she's great. Steven Spielberg, his acceptance of Best Director Award for The Fabelmans. Here we go.
Everybody sees me as a success story, and everybody sees all of us the way they perceive us based on how they get the information. But nobody really knows who we are until we're courageous enough to tell everyone who we are. And I spent a lot of time trying to figure out when I could tell that story. And I figured out when I turned about 74 years old, I said, you better do it now.
So that's his story, right?
It is
about
his story.
About growing up and wanting to be a director and all that, and just his family life.
Yeah. In fact, his mother, so Michelle Williams plays his mother, has the same short-cropped haircut. The impetus for him getting, the kid getting into the movies, was seeing The Greatest Show on Earth, the Cecil B. DeMille, classic. So it's his story.
We also have a clip of Angela Bassett, who I said is now the first Marvel actor to win for one of the Marvel films. Best Supporting Actress for Wakanda Forever. And here's part of her speech.
We embarked on this journey together with love. We mourned, we loved, we healed, and we were surrounded each and every day by the light and the spirit of Chadwick Boseman. And we have joy in knowing that, well, with this historic Black Panther series, it is a part of his legacy that he helped to lead us to.
She's still a stunning woman, man.
She looks great. She's fantastic. And by the way, she's always been in great shape. Yes. Always in great shape.
Yep. Tracy Morgan got up because Eddie Murphy was awarded the Cecil B. DeMille Award, which is the big achievement award of the year. And so Tracy had a chance to talk about Eddie Murphy. Here we go.
Eddie Murphy is a comedy rock star. We both have so much in common. You're a stand-up comedian. I'm a stand-up comedian. You're on SNL. I was on SNL. You were born in Brooklyn. I was born in Brooklyn. You went on to become a world-famous movie star. I was born in Brooklyn. I got to meet Eddie Murphy on the set of Saturday Night Live, and he gave me advice that I still hold dear to my heart to this day. He said, Tracy, always do good work. Never take a gig just for money. That's what Walmart trucks are for.
What a great joke.
And Eddie offers up some advice for people getting into the business. And this is great.
Three rules.
Here we go.
I want to let you know that there is a definitive blueprint that you can follow to achieve success, prosperity, longevity, and peace of mind. And I followed it my whole career. It's very simple. Just do these three things. Pay your taxes, mind your business, and keep Will Smith's wife's name.
He screamed it. Wow. Oh my God, that is so classic. He's the best. That's awesome.
And we do have the acceptance speech for
Hee Kwan.
Hee Hee Kwan. Thank you.
All right. So yeah, I want to hear that. So he won.
It's the whole thing. I don't know if we have to play the whole thing, but
play the first 11 minutes.
It's 2 minutes. It's 2 minutes. It's really good, man.
All right. So he was, if you remember from the Indiana Jones films, Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom, he was Short Round. He was in The Goonies, and his career petered out after that. He was mainly a child star, spent many years staying away from acting, and just a couple of years ago when Crazy Rich Asians came out, he's like, okay, maybe there's room for me, and he got back in, and now he's celebrated for this and Everything Everywhere all at Once. So let's hear a little bit about that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I was raised to never forget where I came from and to always remember who gave me my first opportunity. I am so happy to see Steven Spielberg here tonight. Steven, thank you. When I started my career as a child actor in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, I felt so very lucky to have been chosen. As I grew older, I started to wonder if that was it, if that was just luck. For so many years, I was afraid that I had nothing more to offer, that no matter what I did, I would never surpass what I achieved as a kid. Thankfully, more than 30 years later, two guys thought of me. They remembered that kid, and they gave me an opportunity to try again. Everything that has happened since has been unbelievable. Dan Kwan, Daniel Scheiner, thank you so, so much for helping me find my answer. You have given me more than I could have ever hoped. Thank you to the Hollywood Foreign Press Association for this incredible honor. Thank you to A24, Leyline Entertainment, and AGBO. Thank you to our incredible producer, Jonathan Wong. Thank you to Michelle Yeoh, Jamie Lee Curtis, Stephanie Hsu, and our entire EEAAO family. And last but not least, I want to thank the most important person in my life, the one person that never stopped believing in me, my wife, Echo. I love you with all my heart. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, he's such a nice guy. And he's great in the movie. And then that night, last night, later on, Michelle Yeoh won.
Yeah, that's
right. And that was her first nomination and her first win. And, I mean, Michelle Yeoh's a freaking legend.
Yep.
You know? It was just great.
By the way, can't you still hear, like, Data's voice in his voice?
But he still has that childlike... he plays... Obviously, it's a multiverse movie. So he's playing many different characters in that movie. Versions of himself, as is Michelle Yeoh. I mean, there's many iterations to them. And so he plays a real badass spy, and he plays that kind of guy, and he's great.
By the way, Kevin Costner made a video because he couldn't make it to the award show last night because of the flooding in California that's going on. He said he made a video ahead of time apologizing that that he couldn't be there. And they had to, they tried desperately to make it, but the freeway was flooded over.
Well, the video is him, he's in, and it's the sun's out, everything looks fine, but where he was, he had to take the whole family away, and everything was decimated, so he said presently could not get back home.
Yep. All right, so Golden Globes, that's the first one of the year, many more to come. Ben Affleck was spotted working the drive-through window at Dunkin' Donuts.
Fun.
I used to work at Dunkin' Donuts.
In Massachusetts, yesterday, a source told Entertainment Tonight that he was filming a much-anticipated commercial with the company.
Tony, do you like donuts? You will.
The photos show...
Steve, run on Dunkin'.
The photos show Ben in a full Dunkin' Donuts uniform.
Have you ever met Matt Calver? You will.
Including... he's our representative for the Dunkin' account here. Including the visor, and he was taking orders from the window... Jennifer Lopez, or the source said that there were some photos, by the way, showing them him serving his wife Jennifer.
Yes,
and source said Ben is heavily involved in the commercial as he had pitched the script and is directing and starring in it.
He is a massive Dunkin' fan, which is kind of wild.
Casey Affleck did that Dunkin' commercial for SNL, which was brilliant, and it was just a bunch of Massachusetts idiots, pining over Dunkin', and it was really, really funny. I wonder if Casey Affleck had anything to do with this commercial.
He might very well.
Because Dunkin's origins are in Boston.
So
everybody grew up, it was like the place to go.
It was like Cheers.
Yep.
Steve, when you worked at Dunkin', did you work the drive-thru?
No. Okay. I had a much more important job cleaning the bathrooms.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
There probably wasn't any drive-thrus then, right?
Yeah.
No. I don't think so.
I loved working the drive-thru.
They had just invented the donut.
No, when I worked at McDonald's, like that was like sort of the coveted job to get, and it was a fun job. Like I really enjoyed it, and like a couple times through this job that we have now, I did one at I think Taco Bell, maybe McDonald's again, like just through promotions or whatever.
I would love the chance to make the donuts. They wouldn't let me near the equipment. They had one guy who was like, it was like Parliament. You had to wait till he died to get in there.
You should do drive-through now, Steve. Yeah. You would have a blast doing it.
I think I might like that.
Every now and then, Matt Capper will come in here with Dunkin' gift cards and he'll give them to us. And I love that because when I'm at the drive-thru, and I do this quite often at the Dunkin' just outside of 55 in New Jersey, I pay for the car behind me. You know what I mean? And I like to imagine that the pay it forward just continues throughout the rest of the day.
You should wrap back around and ask the last car if their coffee was paid.
Yeah. Yeah, or just get in line again and see if you get something free.
You know what?
What are you
going to
do for me?
I'm going to do that.
Just keep getting in line.
Yes.
Yeah.
He leaves with all this free coffee.
Yeah, the first time I go through, I'm only getting half of what I want, right? And then when the next time I go around.
Like, make a big
order. You know what? I'll do something bigger. Pay, not... For the pay off their car.
With the Dunkin' gift card?
Right, yeah,
Casey, that's a great idea. First time, just get a cup of coffee. Next time, where I get like a $200 order. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I never worked like any of those because I was not a good like server.
I just don't like it.
No. Because whenever I went for a job, I always wanted to work the cash register. And that was like later. Like you had to work there for a little while, I guess.
To pay your dues.
Yeah. So I worked in retail for like a hot minute. And I was like, when can I get on the register? They're like, yeah, no, you have to fold clothes. I was like, yeah, no, I'm not going to work here anymore.
Yeah, you got to do the crap work first. Jeremy Renner's sister, Kim, had provided a health update on him. She said, we're so thrilled with his progress. If anyone knows Jeremy, he is a fighter and doesn't mess around. He is crushing all the progress goals. We couldn't feel more positive about the road ahead. This comes after he shared a video from the ICU to the Instagram stories last week, writing ICU spa moment, and he was getting a little bit of a scalp rub from his mom and sister. So
it's very cool. Honestly, from what we initially heard about how he was injured, and he certainly was a bad injury, he's doing great.
Yep. Anna Kendrick was ready to start a family with, quote, a toxic ex-boyfriend before learning that he had feelings for another woman. The 37-year-old actress revealed on Monday's episode of the Armchair Expert podcast that she and the unidentified ex created embryos together prior to their split. She said, I was with someone. This was somebody I lived with for all intents and purposes, my husband, and we had embryos together. This was my person, she said.
If you did a little research on her past history, dating history, you could probably figure it out.
And she says, and then about 6 years in, about somewhere around there, I remember telling my brother when things had first kind of gone down, I'm living with a stranger, she said, like, I don't know what's happening. Whenever Kendrick would try to bring up the elephant in the room, she claims that her ex would scream at her until she was curled in a ball sobbing.
Why do we have an elephant?
In fact, she detailed the time that he visited her on set and was acting, quote, super strange. And she worked up the courage to ask him what was wrong. And she said, the worst possible thing was I was like, please don't say this girl's name. And then he started talking about this girl.
It sucks.
The Pitch Perfect star says that she blamed herself for the relationship failing and was convinced if we broke up or, you know, if he left, it was a confirmation that it's because I'm impossible. I'm lucky that he's even tolerating my bull ass. In an effort to save any remnants of their relationship, the pair started to go to couples therapy. Although it didn't help them as a couple, it did help her learn to be okay on her own. She said she started seeing multiple therapists and got into Al-Anon. And she said all of these things ended up being very wonderful things for me in the long run, but initially went into them thinking, well, tell me how to stop being crazy. Tell me how to stop feeling anything. And she continued saying, I ended up going down to just one therapist eventually, and I'm totally obsessed with her. But what she did teach me to do was look at my own experience and decide what I wanted and start drawing boundaries. And that was really scary and really hard, but that is what ended the relationship.
You remember Sofia Vergara was in a relationship with a guy. They created some embryos, and they got into this super long legal battle. And it was a nightmare.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. I don't know what the fate of that was with these two, but apparently it got to that level. On Tuesday, a judge in Los Angeles rejected the dismissal of rape charges against that 70s show actor Danny Masterson and instead scheduled jury selection and a new trial for March 29th.
So he's not out of it.
This comes after a Los Angeles jury was unable to reach a unanimous verdict in November, resulting in a mistrial. He was charged with forcibly raping three women in his Hollywood Hills home between 2001 and 2003. He has denied the allegation. So, yes, he's going to be tried again. Kim Kardashian's former rep, Shiraz Hassan, revealed in the British Channel 4 documentary called The Kardashians, Billion Dollar Dynasty, that Kim's 2012 flower bomb incident was an inside job. The Skims founder was flower bombed during the red carpet launch for her True Reflection perfume, which was later blamed on PETA. However, Hassan said he told Kardashian at the time, okay, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be fine. You're going to be safe, but we're going to create a media moment. If we create media gold, guess what's going to happen? Everyone's going to be talking about your perfume. Everyone's going to buy it.
Well, there's only one thing to say. Liar, whore, liar, whore.
She was in on it?
You know it.
Liar, whore, and you know it.
She was in on it? Is that what it said?
Yeah. That's what this person is saying, that it was this person's idea, even. Huh. And so he added...
Yeah, I believe it.
Are the team in on it? Of course they're in on it, is what he said. So there you go. Well, yeah, who knows? But that's apparently a documentary that's out. I have no idea.
Okay, so...
I'm sure going to watch that.
Yeah, but who, like the dude or woman, I don't know who bombed them, but what happened to them?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know?
They were shot in the back.
I've forgotten more about the Kardashians than I...
Which is, keep going.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I vaguely remember this incident.
Yeah, I don't remember this at all.
I do. Yeah, so, but it was... Yeah, you know, Casey, on the other end of it, I don't remember what happened to the bomber, might speak to the fact that...
there were charges dismissed.
It was a little bit more orchestrated.
Yeah.
Also, it was flour. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't paint. It was like what some people would do.
It wasn't a sarin nerve gas.
It was flour. Like, big deal. She went in the back, she wiped it off, and I could see she was in on it.
That was a practical joke for a while. They called it antiquing.
Yeah, I love it. Borat did it. Remember to Ryan Seacrest. Do you remember on the red carpet.
Forgot about that one, too.
I think he came, he was playing, I guess it was the general. Was that at the movie he made, which was supposed to be Saddam Hussein?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it was. Anyway, he came out and he threw flour. Now, that was not, Ryan Seacrest was not on that joke.
Oh, he was pissed.
Yeah, he was pissed.
Let's see what else I have here for you. Steve Harvey appeared on Tuesday's episode of The Today Show and commented on how his daughter, Lori Harvey, is doing after the breakup with Michael B. Jordan last year. When co-host Jenna Bush Hager asked if he was offered her any advice, he said,
"None of your goddamn business."
He said, "See, I got to be careful about how I answer this. I'm not allowed to talk about anything. I've given her advice quite a few times, but, you know, it's difficult because she's 25. Coming on the difficulty of being a public figure, he said, she's done a really good job of figuring it out and getting it right. And I think she's in a really good place in her life right now. I think she's content with Lori, and I think that's a great place for her to start from.
She's never been to her.
She's now going to go to her and spend a weekend.
Spend some time with her.
Yeah. People reports that yesterday Netflix dropped the trailer for their documentary about Pamela Anderson's life titled Pamela, A Love Story. In the documentary, the Baywatch actress has control of the narrative in telling her story this time. Focuses on how her sex tape with Tommy Lee was made public without her consent in the 1990s and features confessional-style interviews as well as archival footage.
So if you watch Pam and Tommy, the miniseries on Hulu, she ends up looking really good. She ends up looking, you know, very much the victim. And you watched all of it, Nick, didn't you?
I loved it.
Yeah.
And I was sad to learn that she didn't really endorse that because I thought it was a great miniseries.
Yeah, she came off looking really good.
And it was very sympathetic towards everything that she had to go through. Yep. Also, both actors were incredible in that series. Yeah. I mean, I really thought that that they were Pam and Tommy.
Yeah.
They portrayed them so well.
So this is her take on things and how it went.
You know what I did watch, Preston, is that Armie Hammer... that documentary, I think it's on Hulu as well, about the family, the Arm & Hammer family. A lot of interesting stuff. But really? just his stuff alone is very weird. And they're talking to exes. Again, none of this has been tried in a court of law. It's he said, she said, but there's a number of she-sayers, and what they're saying is pretty, pretty perverse.
Have to see that. Let's see. According to Deadline, the series Lucky Hank, starring Bob Odenkirk, is set to appear on AMC and AMC Plus on March 19th. In the show, the Breaking Bad star plays an English department chairman having a midlife crisis. And I don't know anything more about it than
I hope he does a sequel to Nobody.
That'd be cool.
I still got to see that.
Dug that movie.
According to Entertainment Weekly, Marvel Studios released a new trailer for Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
I loved it.
Yesterday, I watched it this morning. During the college football playoff national championship, the movie starring Paul Rudd, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Jonathan Majors, among others, is set to reach theaters on February 17th. This one I'm looking forward to.
Me too.
It's really kicking off the fifth part of the MCU. What is it, Stage 5 or Phase 5?
Right.
And Kang is going to be a badass villain. I think Jonathan Majors is going to do an incredible job with it. And this is going to set up in Avengers Kang Dynasty,
right.
Secret Wars, like everything that's going to come. And I got a bad feeling about Scott Lang in this one.
Oh, really?
I do.
Okay. All right. We'll see what happens. It's coming out, like I said, February 17th. And then one last thing. Deadline reports that Paramount Plus has ordered Dungeons & Dragons straight to series. The 8-episode series is based on Hasbro's Dungeons & Dragons role-playing game, of course. Central Intelligence Director Ross and Marshall Thurber wrote the script and is set to direct the first episode.
Vin Diesel was looking to... He's a big Dungeons & Dragons dude, and he was supposedly working on a series. Does he have anything to do with this?
It didn't indicate in this particular story, but I would hope so.
Yeah.
I never played D&D. My two sons play it. It was
huge.
It never got into my world. Did you ever dabble in it?
No. I for a brief second, and you know me in games.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ. Sorry. So, you'd go into the bookstores, and the bookstore that I worked at, there were shelves of D&D strategy guides and books and game and it, all of that. It just was an enormous juggernaut.
The closest I came to playing that was in grade school. My friends who did play D&D created essentially a Dungeons & Dragons football game.
Right.
And so every Friday, the girls would go up and do choir practice. So all the boys in the class, we would play football. It was cool, man. I really dug that. But the whole fantasy aspect of it all, my thing.
It was like viewed as a little scary. I remember in school,
you're a devil worshiper. Yeah.
And the guys that played, like, it was like, oh god, he plays Dungeons.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
And it's like in Stranger Things, Eddie, the character, is people are right. Freaked out by him.
Stay away.
Because he's
It was like the kids that wore like all black overcoat and like didn't look at you when you walked down the hallway and you're like, he's one of the Dungeons and Dragons guys. Don't look at him.
Brian Posehn and a whole bunch of actors who are into D&D and have been for years get together, once a week and have this big, I think it's a podcast as well as they're playing.
But in the 1980s, Kathy, there was this big scare tactic that took place. There were some groups got up in arms that Dungeons and Dragons was a pathway to the devil and all this stuff. And
yeah, my mom was part of that group.
Yeah. Meanwhile, these kids are just rolling dice and, my troll beat you, that. So that's pretty much what it is.
Sorry, real quick. Jace has, I don't know, he found it on YouTube or something, but he's like, can I get a Ouija board? I was like, no, you can't. And he's like, why? I'm like, I don't know. My mom wouldn't let me have one, so you can't have one.
All right, we're ready for clips now, gang. Delicate and reserved Saint Omer provides insightful commentary on themes of motherhood, guilt, race, and education. And here, director Alice Diop, D-I-O-P, explains the difficulty of portraying this particular story. Here we go.
There are so many different layers, and there is the one of mental illness, alienation, the grief, the motherhood, the solitude, and all of these complex layers were represented in the mise-en-scène and the choices made formally in the film as well, which are equally complex as a mirror of one another.
Could you shut up?
Saint Omer comes out in theaters this week. Here's the next clip. In the white-knuckle action movie Plane, a pilot saves his passengers from a lightning strike by making a risky landing on a war-torn island. And in this clip, star Gerard Butler talks about filming in Puerto Rico.
You know, having a chance to actually spend some time here.
I think they're on a plane.
Yeah.
Or outside of a plane on the wing. Here we go.
Work closely with the Puerto Rican people. They're so warm and friendly, and they work hard. And it's been really awesome. And it's had to be because it's a hard movie. It's a survival movie. We're going through so much.
Shut up, dummy.
Plane will be out in theaters this Friday. I thought it said we'll be out in Friday this theaters.
All right. Well, Yoda's doing the news now.
All right.
It's a dumb title for a movie, right?
Plane. Plane.
Right.
Not
spice it up.
A-I-N.
Like plane.
Yeah.
Car.
No.
Truck.
So, Toaster. That'd be a great movie, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
We do have Tommy Davidson on the program this morning. He's scheduled to be in around 9 o'clock. We have a secret text word, chance for you to win some tickets to the Wings home opener, a four-pack of them. It is this Saturday, by the way, so text word secret to 39333, because we'd love to have you on board. And you can now get registered for the Cardboard Classic.
It's back.
2023. It is going to be Friday, March 3rd at Montage Mountain in Scranton, the Scranton area. So let's have you go to WMMR.com. I'll roll out some more of the details as the morning goes on. But you can now register for Cardboard Classic. Get yourself ready for that event. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Hang in there.
What's new?
Why do you ask?
Ghost. Disturbed. Rival Sons.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WNMR.
Speaking of the airport thing,
or just the airlines in general, that all these are being grounded for the time being. I flew last weekend.
Just real quick, it's not grounded. It's just delayed.
Oh, delayed. I'm sorry. Last week, Rochelle and I decided, and we've started moving forward on this, we have to get our passports renewed first, but, we're going to do, you know, the pre-check thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's another level of that called global entry.
That's what I have.
Yeah. So you have that?
Yes. I've had it for years and I don't know why everyone doesn't get it.
Yeah. We're going to get that.
Yeah.
It's like $15 more than pre-check.
Yeah. And that's better if you fly out of the country. Like pre-check is just, you know, it's great if you're, you know, flying within the United States, but just add another level when you go out of the country.
What a difference.
Yeah.
So essentially you get pre-check as part of the global entry. Like
correct.
So and global entry is it will make customs go quicker.
When on your way back in, you don't have to wait in that big, huge, long line.
Yep.
Because, you know, a lot of times if you're flying in from another country, like a lot of flights are coming in at the same time. So it's like you get bombarded by a number of flights that end up, you know, getting in line to try to go through customs.
By the way, it's $100 for 5 years.
Yeah, it's
5 years.
That's
worth it.
It's got to be a lot of money. And it's not. Yeah, exactly. Even once. Yeah. That's right. Listen, for me, I like to occasionally bust some drugs in and out of the country.
Sure.
You still have to go through customs. Yeah.
Even if you pay for that?
Yeah.
Marissa?
Preston, I hate to burst your bubble, but have you looked into getting an appointment yet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, because there's none available in Philadelphia.
Well, I'm not getting it right now. I mean, I have to get my prescription first. Wait, you mean like they only have so many passes available that they will sell global entry?
No. You just have to set an appointment to get it.
Yeah.
And they're like nearly impossible.
You have to go
get
to the airport.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I haven't done that part of it yet.
I did it years ago, but mine was not that bad. Like there is a little bit of a wait time, but it wasn't like you're never going to get this.
Yeah,
it's
like I'm planning on it's going to be a couple of months, I assume.
Yeah. Oh, like literally on the website right now, it just says no appointments available.
Well, stay out of it. You're talking about your summer trip, right?
I don't think I'm going anywhere this summer. I'm shooting for next year to maybe go.
Well, in the interim, get your medallion for your cab. That's got to be it.
Yeah.
That's why I throw this out. My friends flew to another city just to get it done.
Oh, okay.
Like it was that hard to find an appointment.
Flew to another city?
Yeah.
They couldn't drive to New York or something like that?
There was just none available.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
But I'm also saying it, so if anybody knows how to get global entry,
please
us know.
Yeah.
Because I've been looking into it for years.
I'm sure they extend services to radio people.
Of course.
Because we're no security risk at all.
And we're integral to travel in the United States.
And we keep the pastors happy with our pithy comments.
Pithy comments.
Anyway, so been pounding the pavement.
Ah.
And been walking around the city. Been pounding the park.
Been pounding the park. It's the City Beat brought to you by the man with the paradiddle beat. Preston Elliott.
Thank you for adding a paradiddle into this.
I wanted to pay tribute.
I appreciate that. All right, so I have stories and observations from around our area.
And there's some good stuff.
Yeah, we're going to start with this. A new state study has concluded that the network of speed cameras on Roosevelt Boulevard has indeed reduced crashes, fatalities, and serious injuries so much over 2 years that it should be used elsewhere in the city and across Pennsylvania.
We've stopped and think about it. We'd always hear about somebody getting killed or hit or accidents on that stretch of road, which I think AAA put in the top
10
most dangerous stretches of road.
Right.
I hate that road, but anything that can corral it in a little bit, that stretch, you know, I'm all for it.
I used to travel it almost every single day, and it was not a pleasure to drive it, but I didn't hate it the way people did. And I didn't see, at least when I did, and this was years ago, people drove it like it was a highway.
Yes.
That's the problem. It's the speed on it.
There's pedestrians. I mean, you know, you can't drive like a highway when there's pedestrians.
And there's traffic lights. So you're doing, you know, 65 miles an hour, and then all of a sudden the light turns.
There's an inherent flaw in the way it is all designed, too, because when you get off the main drag and you're getting on the secondary quasi-side street, they have off-ramps that are 11 inches long.
Uh-huh.
So that you are... People don't know how to handle that, and that to me causes all sorts of issues.
Well, that's why.
And people are using it as an alternate route to a highway. So it's like they think, okay, we're going to get there, and you know, we're gonna travel the same speed and get there in the same time.
Right. That's why, like, if I know I'm making a right, I'll just
At some point,
just stay in the right lane.
It doesn't even matter if it's like 10 miles down the road.
Stay in the right.
I'll just drive in the right lane.
Smart man.
You know, if I'm going to make a left, I'll just stay in the left. And I'm with you, Kath. I really don't mind it at all either. What I do mind are red light cameras and it's just black and white. There is no room for, there's no margin for error, right?
You never got to court and argued your case?
No, I have. Yeah. I have. But, like, that's a pain in the ass, right? Like, so I got one not far from here. I turned right on the light was green, but there was a red light because it was a bike lane. Anyway, I've never seen anything like this before in my entire life.
When you present your case, make sure your notes are in line because you got to get.
I can't even explain it to you, Steve. I had a green light.
And the judge
light.
Wouldn't accommodate that.
No, they did. They did. But if there was a cop there, at 10 o'clock at night and they saw what I did, they would have said, all right, you're good. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there should be at least like a couple of people that review all the videos before they send these tickets out and go, you know what? You're good.
I'd like
here.
To claim in okay, you're all good. Sort of, yeah. I know what you're saying, but it is black and white. That is part of the deal. But what do you say to this? The data showing that there has been a 36% decrease in injuries and fatalities.
Yes, sir. Crashes on Roosevelt Boulevard dropped 36% from 2019 to 2021, compared to a decline of 6% in Philadelphia overall. And collisions with fatalities or serious injuries declined 11% on the boulevard in the period studied. While at the same time, such crashes were increased by 16% in the city as a whole.
And isn't an option always to ignore your summonses and your tickets? That's always something you can do, right?
The report said objective evaluation quantifies the program's success at changing driver behavior, improving safety, and saving lives. If lawmakers don't renew the program by December 18th, if they didn't, the Roosevelt Boulevard experiment would end. Speed cameras went up in mid 2020 on Roosevelt Boulevard. Governor Tom Wolf on Friday announced $14.5 million for work in Philadelphia funded by the first installment of the speed camera enforcement money. Much of it is intended for Roosevelt Boulevard, including extended curbs so pedestrians don't have to walk as far to cross the busy road, realign lanes and turning lanes, and new better time traffic signals, as well as more bus shelters.
Fix all that crap up.
The Parking Authority, which runs the enforcement cameras, also found that average speeds were reduced and the number of speeding tickets plummeted after the machines were installed. So speeding tickets went down.
Okay, so quick question. What is the buffer? Did they mention the buffer they will allow you to exceed the speed limit by?
No.
Okay.
I think that's probably it's a discretion that the police have. Uh-huh. So I don't know.
Yeah, but I wonder with the camera. With like, there's got to be a set.
Oh, that's a good question. Well, are these speed cameras or are these
red light cameras? Right.
Maybe it says speed cameras.
Yeah.
So that's a good question. I don't know. I would think, the term speed limit is supposed to mean that limit. Yeah. You can't go past this number.
Right.
That is the limit. That's the end of it. But with a human, you have a little bit of grace area to consider.
Hey, when did this study begin?
2019 is when they went up.
All right. I'm just curious as to whether or not the pandemic had any effect on decrease of any of these things.
It's a good point.
Amid an increase in fatal crashes in the city since the pandemic began in early 2020, including pedestrian hit and runs, cameras have proved popular with safety advocates. People in a number of neighborhoods are asking for them on their dangerous roads, such as Lincoln Drive, Ridge Avenue, and Cobbs Creek Parkway. So there you go. Hang on a second. Let me go to Mike, who got a ticket on Roosevelt Boulevard.
Hey,
hi, Mike.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, I've gone 5 miles over the speed limit on the boulevard, and I've gotten, you know, 2 tickets from that.
Okay.
You got
so that's it.
5 miles over the speed
that's
limit.
That's what I'm saying,
I think a buffer. I know, and you're right. Technically, it should be the limit. Should be the limit, but about 10, up to about 10 miles an hour over the speed limit.
That's
right?
What cops usually do.
But then that becomes the limit.
I know.
Now if I'm not mistaken, too, I think there's a study saying like of the five most dangerous intersections in America, 3 of them are on the boulevard.
Yeah, I remember that story.
Yeah.
You're right about that, Mike. Thanks, man. Appreciate it, bud. So, but they say they're working.
What? Yeah, no, I just remember having a conversation with my friend who is a police officer, and she said 11 miles per hour was her threshold.
Okay.
You know, so if somebody was going 36 into 25, that's
because your speed like, will okay. vary. I would guarantee you every day we all multiple times break the speed.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Some other stuff from the City Beat. We're going to move on. Kevin Hart, Meek Mill, and former 76ers owner Michael Rubin are joining forces again to donate $7 million in scholarship funds.
Oh, yeah.
That will support low-income students at 60 private and parochial schools in the Philly area.
You know, this is what my buddy does. He actually works for, I don't know if this is with Blocks. Does it indicate which?
Blocks.
Yeah. My buddy Jeff. You guys know Jeff.
Yes.
My best friend.
Yes.
He works for Blocks and he works with Michael Rubin and a lot of these guys. They're able to, you know, instead of like paying your taxes, you're able to allocate, you know, a certain amount of your tax dollars to
a charity recipient.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So the recipient schools, which were not named, were chosen as part of concentrated efforts to make an impact in areas of need. A spokesperson said on Monday the donation will fund scholarships on the 23-24 academic year and at-home technology such as laptops, tablets, and Wi-Fi connections. Investments in education have been a growing focus for Meek Mill and Rubin, who co-chair the Reform Alliance, a criminal justice reform established in 2019 to advocate for policy changes around parole and probation. Hart has donated Philadelphia schools on several occasions during the last 5 years. They also donated $15 million, the trio did, to 110 private and parochial schools in the Philly area to cover tuition costs for the current academic year.
That's pretty awesome.
Awesome. So good for them. Money back into the community and helping out in education. All right. Let's see. Here's another City Beat story. This is a quick one, and you probably saw this from a couple of days ago, but Kate McClure from the whole the gas.
Johnny Bobbitt,
$400,000 online donation thing.
Man, you'd have to be a real sucker to fall for that story.
Especially like when another cool charity event is going on. And
We had them at the camp up.
Oh, that's right.
So she was not present in the Mount Holly courtroom this past Friday. Because she's serving a one-year federal term in the case, but they have sentenced her on the state charges, and they have sentenced her to 3 years in prison on those charges.
Whoa,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So her state prison term will run concurrently, and the former Transportation Department worker will bar her from ever working again as a New Jersey public employee. So,
but the state prisons, those are the not fun ones.
Well, where is she going to serve? Is she going to serve in a state prison?
If there's a state sentence, like you can only stay in the county prisons for a certain amount of time, and she is above that time. So, at least I know that's the case for Pennsylvania.
I'll say this. So if 1 year sentence is concurrent with the 3 year, and if she's a good model prisoner, I think she could be out in a year and a half, right?
Something like that. Yeah. I don't know. But it's usually, a decent amount less. But, yeah, she's going to state prison for a while. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, reality's going to hit.
Yeah, if it hasn't already,
you're right. So I don't know how long she's already been serving that federal charge.
Would you be a model prisoner? I think I would. I would try to do my best.
I would try to, yeah.
Would you be a bitch?
Oh, absolutely. I'd find the biggest guy in the prison, and I'd give him oral immediately.
Nick, I wouldn't be a bull. That's for freaking sure.
Yeah, me neither.
So I think I would have very little choice in the matter.
Right.
Same. I'd walk in and say, who wants my hiney?
Uh-huh. I would be like, don't you know who I am? Isn't there like a special area for me?
Yes.
On radio.
You put me in the radio wing.
You know what, Steve? I think I would probably have to... I think I'd have to offer up my mouth.
Yeah,
And I would say, right listen, away. I would say, if I can just do mouth stuff, I will give you the greatest mouth ever.
Yeah.
And maybe make that proclamation.
Welcome to prison.
It depends on, let me hear your offer. What kind of package are you offering here? what do I get for mouth and ass? Right?
The
M&A package?
What? Maybe we have a little toilet wine tasting to see...
Really
want who I want to be with.
And fight some of the guys
you get
over.
Your choice?
Right.
Okay.
Well, I mean, let them fight over me. I'm no great shakes, but in prison, I'm probably pretty good.
You'd be a catch.
Yeah. I'd be a keeper.
So she's going to, 3 years in
the real house bitch is in prison.
Okay. Let's go somewhere else. Let's see. The Blue Cross Broad Street Run. They announced the date on that. Sunday, April 30th this year. It's traditionally held in on the first Sunday in May.
This works out for me because I can stay home and watch TV.
But it is being bumped up to avoid conflict with a Phillies Red Sox day game at Citizens Bank Park on Sunday, May 7th. So this is like a one-time only. They're going to have it in April.
I love when they make these accommodations. It seems like sometimes it's like, did anyone coordinate or look at the schedules of the teams and stuff like that? This time they apparently did.
The Broad Street Run will welcome about 40,000 runners. It's typical participation level for the first time since 2019. Due to the pandemic, last year's race had to be about 27,000 runners. In 2021, it was postponed to October and only included about 17,000 runners, with others taking part in a virtual race. Then it was canceled in 2020. So this year, runners will not be required to provide proof of COVID-19 vaccinations or wear face masks at the start and finish lines. Spectators will again be welcome to cheer runners along the race course. Kids events and post-race activities will also return. The move to April, like I said, is expected to be a one-year change. The biggest change coming this year is a new finish line that will end the race at Lot K near the link. The course previously concluded at the Philadelphia Navy Yard, so they're going to move it over to the link.
How many miles is it?
It's 10 miles.
Okay, so you probably won't have to poop yourself.
It is the nation's largest 10-mile race. It will start at 8 a.m. at Broad Street and Fisher Avenue in North Philly near Einstein Medical Center. And registration for bibs will open after midnight February 1st. And we'll close at the end of the night on Wednesday, February 15th.
Initially, I heard you say it's the nation's longest 10K race.
Largest 10-mile race.
They're pretty much all the same, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can run it in 9 parsecs.
Yeah.
Which of the marathons, we were talking about this, is known for having the most fouling of homes and front yards?
Boston, right?
But I think it's Boston.
Boston starts in Hopkinton. Yeah, I've been to it a few times.
They crap all over the place.
Yeah. And I think Boston is one of the largest, if not the largest in the country, too. It's also the most prestigious.
Yeah. Mm.
So runners will be accepted through a lottery system or have the option to run on behalf of a charity partner if they want to. So that's back in full force, which is cool. So if you're a runner and that's something you've been looking forward to getting to, or maybe first time out, that's what's great about that one is it's 10 miles. 10 miles is attainable.
It's doable,
And it's much more. It's less intimidating than running a full marathon or even a half marathon. I mean, 10 miles. I my knee would give me too much trouble. I probably couldn't do it. But you could. You could walk run it. You could do partial runs and walks and make it through 10 miles.
I mean, without like a 5K, I think very easy. I ran one with my dad, and never having run one at all, and it was not a problem. But when you the marathon thing, I'm like, oh no, no effing way. And then people who do multiple marathons back to back,
Yep. All right. Let's see another story from the streets of Philadelphia. Sight and Sound survey of the 100 greatest films of all time came out last year. And Trey Shields, who is with the Philadelphia Film Society, has decided to bring the list of films to Philadelphia, all 100 of them.
That's pretty cool.
He's the program manager and senior festival programmer at the Philadelphia Film Society, in addition to the Film Festival and other festivals organized by PFS. He supervises the organization's screenings of older films. So not long after the survey's release, Shields had lined up a screening series of the entire list to run in mostly descending order over the course of 2023. While most films will screen at the Philadelphia Film Center, some will be shown at the PFS Boars. Shields said he believes that the PFS is the only theater or film society in the country that has announced plans to show all 100 films on the list.
A lot of movies.
Although some others are showing selections from the list. The BFI South Bank Theater in London, which is affiliated with Sight and Sound, is showing all 100 between January and March. So the schedule has been announced through the end of March. The series will get underway, or actually did get underway, on the 4th. With Jordan Peele's Get Out, which was number 100 on the list.
You know, it's weird. Nerds in Paradise is on the list, but Revenge of the Nerds is not.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
I did like Nerds in Paradise quite a bit.
It's like Godfather and Godfather.
Yeah,
too.
I go back and forth on the two. The countdown will likely be incorporated into the Philadelphia Film Festival in October, and Shields expects the films The top films on the list to show at the end of December. So they're going to stretch it out over the whole year.
Sometimes it's, and I've enjoyed it over my life, going when they will re-release a movie to the full theater.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had The Godfather out a little while ago. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go and try to see that. Never made it. But like when they re-released 2001 in you know, large screen theaters, and I went every night. It's just there's... You know, that theater experience is just so fantastic.
You know where it does that, Steve, occasionally is the Colonial Theater in Phoenixville. And I just right. saw one coming up. I'll see if I can find it. But some really cool film festivals and just like full-on screenings for movies that have been around for a long
cool.
time. Oh, there's a Stanley Kubrick one. The Shining. That's what it was.
Nice.
So they're going to do a horror bowl in place of the Super Bowl. And it's going to be The Shining, Creepshow, and Christine at the Colonial
okay.
Theater.
Very cool. Yeah. All Stephen King.
Nice. All right, let's see. I have more things. We'll have to break shortly, though. Let me see. How about... Boy, I got a number of things here we could go to. Yep, all right, Marissa got me this story. Known as Philadelphia's first comic store, Fat Jack's, opened its doors in 1976, and since then, the store 2006... Samson Street has made it through multiple economic recessions, change of the millennium, the pandemic, but... The effects of shutting down, inflation, the increase in remote work has the store considering closing. But they are going to, they're going to be trying to raise some money to keep it from closing up. So I've never been to Fat Jack's. I'm not familiar with it.
I think I have. And yeah? It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Does that look familiar to you?
It does.
Okay.
Yeah.
On Sansom Street. And so, yeah, they're having an issue. Let's see. I didn't get a chance to read through this. Fat Jack's subscription program has been affected as well. Working from home meant that readers had to cancel their memberships doing being unable to pick up their comics. I used to have a subscription set up where the guy at a comic shop would pull all the titles that I liked.
Put them in a bundle and you go pick them up.
Yep, exactly.
They couldn't do curbside, I guess.
So now they're running a GoFundMe in the hopes of raising $20,000. To cover the cost of production acquisition and to catch up on bills. The total debt amounts to be $80,000. Wow. I said that this will keep our head above water if they can raise 20 grand.
It'd be great if they could do it.
At the time this story came out, about $9,600 had been raised to help Fat Jack. So they're almost halfway to their goal. In the meantime, the store is having a half-price sale of older comic back issues until the end of January.
How much do they need?
And it's doing a weekly Sunday online sale through the broadcasting live website, The Experience. They need $20,000.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you said $80,000.
No, he said so that their total debt amounts at $80,000, but the $20,000 will help keep their head above
right.
the water.
All right.
So they're trying to raise that. If you can help out, they have an Instagram account and it makes announcements and so on. So, but it's supposedly the first comic shop in Philadelphia, 1976.
It was Ben Franklin who set it up.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not know. Well, he was in integral in the printing press, so that would make sense that he was a comic guy. Yeah.
The Hulk is all green.
Yeah, that is that's all I have time for in the City Beat. So hopefully you got a taste and a flavor of what's happening on the streets of Philadelphia.
It's amazing how you can cover the whole area and just be up on everything.
Yeah, it's what I do.
It's your gift.
It's a sacrifice.
It's your curse
that I make. All right, we're going to break. We're going to come back in a second. The Bizarre File is up. We're going to go live on Fox Good Day this morning, so stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Listen on our mobile app or go to WMMR.com.
It's kind of self-explanatory after that.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Compromise how you get around. Stop compromising. Keep driving with Safe Auto.
You got to hang on.
And the pilot in this aircraft for over an hour and are just sitting there.
Get a free quote at safeauto.com.
Nothing's moving at that airport either. Nothing's moving at any airport in America. Wow, what a story.
Something you don't hear often.
Never.
Nothing's moving at any airport
across the country.
Last time I remember is 9/11.
And of course, at this point, we still don't know the true cause of this or what's really going on. All we know is what FAA has been putting out.
I was told they were going to throw it to us, so that's why I had you wrap up there. Sorry. This is Fox. Good day. You're listening to on the President and Steve
Show. The safety of flight, so they want to ground everything until they can figure this out.
Let's hope that's all it is, a computer glitch. 7:57.
Bosses on Reddit are sharing some of the wildest.
Okay, maybe we're not.
This is us.
Okay.
One boss says an employee claimed her car skidded on ice and hit a telephone pole.
Oh, my God. Well, goodness. But that was not the truth. So, President Steve, I'm sorry that we had to do that airplane stuff.
No problem.
With your radio listeners listening in on that. But it is a huge story across America. Mm. Another one I heard, my cat just had puppies. They got so screwed up about lying that they didn't say kittens. My cat gave birth to puppies. Now, you guys would never do that.
No. One comes to mind specifically when you guys are talking about this, and we learned this was going to be the topic. And Preston, this is also from my past. I was remember working, was it my second or third job, and an employee had... The employer was keeping track of the grandparents that had died that this employee kept saying.
Oh, no.
And three grandfathers died. It became very problematic. So if you're going to lie on the family death thing, you got to keep a chart, you know?
Yeah. There was a time in my 20s where I just did not want to go to work, and I lied a few times to get out of work. And I did one time. I pulled one. Which was stupid. I said I got in a car accident and broke my arm. Now, how do you...
How do you go with a broken arm?
Exactly. So, you know what I did? I quit. I was a pizza delivery guy.
As it turns out, there was an arm specialist in from Zurich.
So I quit. I had to. I was committed.
Yeah. I was decapitated in a car crash, but fortunately, they had a head guy at the...
Just to give you a heads up.
I'll tell you one
thing. Appointments, like doctor's appointments or things, and just, I need the whole day.
Well, I've had like 19 or 20 uncles die.
Yeah, you can get away with that.
Ooh, uncle's good.
The uncles are good. Don't pick too immediate. One that, and we've said that anything that's gastrointestinal, mm-hmm. Okay, no problem. No one wants to hear about it. That's the easiest
so
way,
true.
Right? And who wants to pry out? Well, what exactly does it look like? what's actually coming out? No one wants to hear that story, right? Exactly. So that always gets you the pass.
The crew over there at MMR, who would be most likely of like the five or six of you to lie?
who would or embellish
about an excuse to not come in?
Marissa.
Yeah.
No, she never misses work.
No, she never does.
Mike, you're trying to start a fight.
Yeah.
So you're saying who amongst us is the biggest liar?
It must be Kathy then.
Kathy
is incredibly sick.
I am so nervous that if I were to call out sick and then have to go to the store and somebody would see me and my parents said that I was like that with school too. Like if I didn't go to school, I wouldn't go out and go to the store because I was afraid that somebody might see me and think that I wasn't sick. I can't do it.
Mm. Well, it's akin to playing hooky. Right. Yeah. So, hold on. This is the same thing, same vibe.
I think Nick could be pretty good at it.
Yeah. I pretended to fall off the side of a mountain, and I rode all the way. You guys fell for it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, have a great week, you guys.
You too.
All right. We'll see you later, guys. All right, thank you. Sorry about that, Kathy. I thought they were going live to us. So
So I wanted to jump in when they were talking about it, but I wasn't sure where it was going. But So my mom said that I would never if I could. She would always say to me you don't. It's just stay home if you don't feel good. Like we'll go shopping.
She'd take you shopping.
Go shopping.
No, but I wouldn't because I was so nervous that somebody would think that I wasn't sick and went, well, maybe a teacher will see me at the mall or whatever. And she was like, oh my God.
My biggest latitude from my parents would come, or from my mother specifically, I wanted to stay up and watch things movies that were on later on that night or whatever.
Yeah.
She would let me do that, but the caveat was always, but you're going into school tomorrow.
Yeah. I went from kindergarten through eighth grade and I only missed one day of school. In sixth grade, I was legit sick and I never missed one day.
Because your dog had kittens.
No, I was sick, but you know, we were actually talking about this at, you know, family dinner on Friday night. And, you know, looking back on it, you know, my sister was like, because I think her oldest never missed a day from kindergarten to eighth grade. And she's like, you know what he got? A piece of paper.
Yeah, nothing.
At graduation. Yeah. Like, there was nothing special. They called your name. Here's a piece of paper. And she's like, so.
Julie Jerkoff.
So you're doing it for what?
You're doing it for yourself. For the kid. Like, if you feel good about it. Because there are kids that was, like, a big deal.
Yeah.
For, like, us in our family. Like, my mom was like, yeah, I don't care if you have perfect attendance.
Would you put that on a resume, on a job resume, or something like that?
No.
I mean, to get something out of
maybe in a job interview, but maybe not on a resume, but on an interview. Like, yeah, like, hey, listen, I don't miss. Like, I've only missed one day of school. I don't call out sick.
And why should we bring you on here at NASA? I was a cafeteria monitor.
If you're going for a job interview and you have I had perfect attendance in high school on there, I don't know.
I mean, I'm just saying it shows commitment
to get something out of it more than just that stupid piece of paper you got.
Because college doesn't necessarily keep track of that. You don't want to go, don't go. They don't care.
But
half the time the professor doesn't show up.
Most of us really haven't had to do many job interviews, but, like, you know, it's competitive out there today and people have brag books and all that stuff. So, you know, my wife had a friend who she went to a trophy store and had trophies and plaques made up of her being like the salesperson of the year and brought the
fraudulent.
What?
Yeah.
All right, hang on. What's a brag book?
A brag book. It's just, you know, the things that you can brag about in your.
I can jump off the high dive.
Yeah, like documentation of you know your. Your triumphs.
Look at this is a picture of a guy in my neighborhood. He doesn't like anybody, but he likes me.
Right.
I'm just saying.
She had these fake awards made up. Would she take them or take photos of them?
No, she took them. She brought, she had a bunch of blacks and stuff.
An
like
Oscar.
That.
Yeah.
Okay. I could bring all those Window Nation top sales awards.
And yes.
That I have on my desk.
Do you think we get any latitude with the Radio Hall of Fame? If you go in someplace.
I was thinking about making it into a necklace, and that way it would always be able to, I could show it to people.
Like a Flavor Flav kind of thing.
Yeah, get
let's say you're standing in line with that, they'd probably make you go two or three back. Mm. Right.
That's a big deal, though. Like, that's like plaque worthy. If you wanted to get a necklace, I'd be all right.
They would think it was fraudulent if they listened to the show.
Let me go to Lori, and then we got to get to the Bizarre File, which is what we're doing now. Hi, Lori, good morning.
Good morning, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, what's up, Lori?
So I had 12 years of perfect attendance. I was never, ever, ever allowed to stay home. And I absolutely put it on my resume.
All right.
And did it work in your favor?
Yeah, it has. Like my current employer was really impressed and I never call out of work. Like, I feel like it just proves that you have a good work ethic. Yeah. Like I went to school sick. I suffer from bad migraines. Like, I still go every day.
Okay.
There's something to be said also if you are contagious to not go.
Don't go.
Right.
Yeah.
You won't believe how many people I killed.
6 days as adults that you can take. But in school, my mom was like, nope, you're going to school. At least make it till noon so you get counted for the day. And if you're really sick, the nurse will send you.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. That's what my mom said. That's exactly what, like, my mom got her. She took every page out of my aunt's notebook. And my aunt was like, if they're that sick, make it the nurse's call.
It's like it made the rounds. It was on social media. The business opposed to the warning. If you're okay enough to go to the doctor, you can come into work. I'm like, what?
No.
Okay.
So my household and Casey's household, I think, are similar because we were talking about it not that long ago. One of Casey's kids was sick, and you were like, I guess maybe you were on the phone with Diane, and you were like, they're fine, they can go to school. And she was saying, oh, but I don't know, they don't feel good. And literally 2 days later, I had the same conversation. I was on the phone with Jason. I'm like, oh, you all right, maybe you can stay home. Let me see. Hold on a minute. Let me see what time I can leave work. And Casey's like, he's not sick.
He's fine.
I've got to go. My baby needs me.
100%.
All right, real quick, before we segue into the Bizarre File, as I had said before we went into Fox Good Day, Cardboard Classic registration is up and running now. You can now get signed up for that, and it is mandatory if you want to be a part of the race. You can come and be an observer and not have to do anything, and we would love for you to be there in attendance. But if you do want to enter a sled, you can now enter it through WMMR.com. And, of course, it starts around 10:30 a.m. on Friday, March 3rd. Sled building materials include cardboard, tape, string, and glue. Some decorations like paint are permitted.
But there's thousands of dollars in cash prizes, including $1,000 for best design. There's a limited number of slots for the fastest sled category. Other categories are going to be announced soon. But we want you to go to WMMR.com to get the complete details. Or if you'd like to text the word cardboard, 239-333, and we'll send the link over to you.
And Montage is pulling out all the stops. This is a great way to come back and come back with an event that's going to exceed anything we've done before.
Yep, and it's our debut at Montage Mountain. It's only 20 minutes further out than Jack Frost was. So come on out. Be a part of this thing. We are excited to get back to it again, and we want you there. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, we're going to start with a story out of Tulsa. The Tulsa Police Department has arrested an alleged porch pirate with an unusual and questionably effective mask. TPD said that they were made aware of a porch pirate case in West Tulsa. They were provided with surveillance images of the suspect and the Flock safety system.
Flock?
Yeah. And it helped find the suspect's vehicle. The police department said an officer recognized the suspect from previous porch pirate cases where the suspect was wearing women's underwear as a mask.
All right.
He had a panty on his head.
That wouldn't draw attention.
They went to the
Mom,
suspect's
the panty
home.
Guy's here.
They knocked at the door and saw the suspect, Spencer Googler, inside. Googler remained inside the home and would not talk to officers.
I don't want to come out.
I'm wearing my panties.
Leave me alone.
A search warrant for the home was obtained and signed. After the warrant was signed, Googler exited the home. Mm. The police said that Googler was arrested and booked for 5 counts of larceny.
How was he? So he was he? Did they? The picture established how he was wearing them. Was
I've not seen any photos,
and it didn't say
the
butt side covering his face.
I gotta think so.
Yeah,
I'm not really
Otherwise,
sure.
Otherwise, you just have these huge openings.
But he had panties on his head.
Son, you got a panty on your head.
A naked, headless body was discovered floated in the water off of a well-liked beach in Costa del Sol, Spain. The decapitated woman's corpse was found with a deep cut to her stomach and hands chopped off. Ugh.
She okay?
She was discovered by a group of friends who noticed something in the sea while sitting on a restaurant terrace on Sunday evening. The group raised alarm after initially believing the person was drowning. Locals report the woman was around 30 years old.
What if you pull her out and try to do mouth-to-mouth?
It is thought that she was only in the water for a short amount of time before being discovered. The police officers leading the investigation blocked off the area before the corpse was taken for a post-mortem.
It's gruesome.
Police are scanning through missing persons reports in a bid to discover the dead woman's name. A Yakima man, I'm not sure where Yakima
Washington.
Is. Okay. Is Yuck? under, yeah. He's under arrest for drive-by shooting and threatening employees after police said that he became enraged that a local Taco Bell was closed. It wouldn't serve.
He's upset.
The Taco Bell employees say that they were closing the restaurant when a man in a flatbed pickup truck drove to the window to order a Friday at approximately 2 a.m. After telling a man they were closed, the employee said the driver became immensely upset.
The hell is this?
Screaming that he would break their windows.
I'll kill all of you!
If they didn't serve him food. They said he then began pounding on the front doors of the restaurant.
I'm hungry!
Saying he was going to break in. A few minutes after he left, the employees say that they saw the pickup parked nearby. As one of the employees began to drive away, they say they heard a single gunshot. The employee called 911 saying the man was shooting at him. Police said they were quickly able to locate the pickup truck and detain the driver, 30-year-old David Sharp. Inside the truck, police said they found a 9mm pistol with a loaded magazine, a bullet chambered in the, and was also chambered, and it was in the center console, a loaded .22 pistol in a pocket just behind the driver's seat.
Those were his Taco Bell pistols.
And another 9mm pistol with an empty magazine on the rear passenger seat underneath an assortment of clothing. Police say around two, they found two spent 9mm casings on the front windshield and multiple shell casings or live rounds in the center console.
That's from the McDonald's drive-thru.
Officers investigated the Taco Bell store. They say they found a bullet hole in the building as well as a second grazing round on an exterior wall. And they also found a spent 9mm shell casing on the ground near where the pickup was parked. So he is in some trouble.
Is it his perception that if you start shooting, they'll open up for you?
I think that's the deal. He believed.
Let him in.
Okay. That's enough.
Come on in.
We'll make you a burrito supreme. An art teacher at a New Jersey middle school. This is terrible. Has been arrested after he overdosed on fentanyl in front of students mid-class.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Frank Thompson was charged last week with possession of a controlled dangerous substance and endangering the welfare of children. A resource officer reported that Thompson was unconscious and unresponsive in a second-floor classroom after students found the art teacher in distress just after 9 a.m. The school nurse was treating Thompson when officers arrived. Resource officer observed signs of that were indicative of a drug overdose and administered Narcan.
Yeah, I assume schools keep Narcan, right?
You would think so, maybe. Right? Yeah, it could be, and it, you know, right. Yeah, just for an emergency. Investigators searched the classroom and found fentanyl and various types of drug paraphernalia in a closet. Thompson is doing court on February 1st. A passenger of a Ford F-150 called 911 to report that they were being chased by Washington State Patrol troopers. So they called the police to report that they were being chased by police.
And they're right on my tail.
And wait, do you hear the rationalization here? So around 12:30 a.m., a trooper noticed a truck swerving in and out of lanes. The trooper activated their lights when they suspected that it was a DUI driver. When 28-year-old Amanda Baporis didn't pull over, a pursuit started. Now, Baporis continued down the highway for almost 10 miles, reaching speeds more than 100 miles per hour, while still swerving in and out of lanes. Baporis and two other passengers in the truck believed that the trooper was not allowed to pursue them after the 2021 state legislature limited high-speed police pursuits. Now, this is not true, as this pursuit was authorized by a Washington State Patrol supervisor.
They forgot that part of the law.
It's unclear what was said to the 911 dispatchers during the call, but Baporis argued that, quote, her constitutional rights were being violated because the police were pursuing her.
3 feet back is government property.
Alcohol containers were found in the vehicle, and Baporis was arrested on one count of DUI and one count of attempting to elude police. So she started speeding up, creating a high-speed chase, thinking that the law would cover
her. I got this.
And the fact that they would have to back off of the pursuit.
Right.
And that's why she called the police to say that it was violating her constitutional
So was it her belief that the police would send other police to arrest the police?
I guess so. All right. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. We're going to take a break a little bit later on. Tommy Davidson is going to be stopping by the studio. He's performing at World Cafe Live tonight. Tickets are available at worldcafelive.com. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Wait, what's he? Where was that place Preston and Steve said that guy did that thing that one time? Don't bother your friends.
If you missed something on the Preston and Steve show, the daily podcast and the YouTube stream are posted on PrestonandSteve.com every day after the show for just such occasions. It's always there and always free.
That is until the internet breaks and we've got bigger problems.
We're going to get Tommy Davidson in the studio a little bit later on this morning, probably 9 o'clock hour, and he's going to be performing at World Cafe Live tonight. Tickets, I believe, just went on sale this morning.
That's the word.
You can go to worldcafelive.com to get those tickets. All right, so I decided we haven't done this in a while. Marissa likes to get video of this, so I'll make sure that I have this ready to go. It is a Stack-O-Topics.
Oh, the incredible Stack. Explain the concept.
We don't really have a theme for Stack-O-Topics,
do we?
We need some kind of theme for Stack-O-Topics. These are just from time to time. I'll write something down that's not necessarily time-sensitive or at the time didn't feel like, you know, it was worth taking out for discussion. And then I just keep a little pile of these on scratch paper.
Yes.
And and every now and then we like to break it out, fan them out, and have somebody draw one like a card, and then we start talking about it.
Most of the time, we've had success. We've had a few stinkers.
Yeah, there are a couple.
It's a sort of a gambling element to it as well.
I weeded out a couple of the dumb ones.
Okay. That was my next question. Do you ever look at them in between Stack-O-Topics?
I did today.
All right.
And you want to see the ones I took out?
What didn't make the cut?
One is, what's in your freezer?
All right, yeah.
Which is kind of good. I mean, there's people can
if you're a murderer.
Weird stuff in their freezers. And then this one was, I think I'm alone in my phobia, obsession, etc. That's actually not a bad
That's not
one.
So bad.
I'll hold on to that for
a second. Stop doubting yourself.
We just need like a, we need a kickstart. Like if there's that, yeah. with the phobia, obsession, we need like a story to go along with it. If it's none of us that has that, it's like,
I know.
Right. Well, a lot of these topics can be that, but they're, listen, you were moved to jot it down, and that means...
And A lot of times I will have a kickoff story for it, and I'll write it down, and I forgot what the kickoff was.
I know. That happened last time.
I need to write that part
I think you need to write that part down, too.
Remember this part.
Yeah, Kathy, you want to choose?
Sure.
All right. Now, have you guys ever met each other?
Oh, this is our stack of topics theme song. I love it. All right, Kathy, if you can read my handwriting.
Yeah, I think it says pound for pound, what makes you most angry?
Yes. All right, pound for pound.
Okay.
What makes you most angry? What gets you just seethingly mad? And it doesn't have to be, it could be a small thing that just really gets under your skin. And you find yourself getting the most amped up. I mean, just ire, just absolute anger.
Do you have to provide a weight?
What's that now?
Oh, not actual pounds is what you're saying.
No.
Okay.
No actual weights
this
involved.
This gets me 20 pounds angry.
So I think mine, and it might be a real easy go-to, I came to terms with it for a while, but it's rearing its ugly head again.
Oh, no.
Is people that drive obnoxiously. Mm. Now, you guys know I told you that I had an epiphany moment where I let all of that go, and it worked.
Did it feel good?
It worked. It was great.
It's liberating, right?
It worked for years, and I would just allow an a-hole driver to come and go, to just get, you go on about your day, I'm not going to let you affect me. Well, man, the other day, I had a wig out session.
Was it the guy?
Your guy in the morning.
No,
lunatic.
It was a kid.
Oh.
On a tricycle.
No. It was a high schooler.
Big wheel.
Why is it high school?
So I'm driving on somewhere. It was like 35 mile an hour speed limit. And I'm doing 40. Okay, so I'm going over the speed
limit.
Doing
fine.
Kid flies up behind me, gets on my ass. Double yellow line, no passing.
Crosses it.
Goes around me.
What?
And I'm like, I lost it. I absolutely wigged the F out because, A, you're tailgating me when I'm already going over the speed limit. B, you cross the yellow line. For me, for some reason, there's no going back. When you do that, somebody you could kill someone. Someone could be coming over a hill the other direction. There's a reason that double line is there. And I...
So by yourself in the car, myself. Freaking out?
Yeah.
So what was the
screaming
mechanism?
Screaming and yelling and, I mean, just...
What was the mechanism you would use prior to this for the time of bliss? Okay. Because I know what I might think that what I would try to do, I'd try to say, perhaps this person just learned that something horrible was going on at home or something was going on like that.
This is a 16-year-old kid who was driving like an a-hole.
Okay.
And that's all there was to it. Right. He came flying up on me. No, I knew by looking in the rearview mirror that this wasn't a desperate individual or something like that. What I used to do was don't let what that person did affect your mood for the rest of the day. Don't let that person cause this to happen to you. You know what I mean?
Well,
and let that go.
Well, because they've exacted a tremendous amount of damage on you for something that it's not worth it. But I understand what you're saying.
Go ahead.
So I understand. I mean, everybody gets mad at drivers. For me, driving and aggressive drivers are not like a trigger point. So I would get angry. I always say, where are you going? You in a rush? Where are you going?
Because everyone's behind you. You drive very fast.
Yeah, you're an aggressive driver.
But that's it for me. Do you know what I mean? Like that would never ruin my day. Nick and I talk about this all the time, and you said it perfectly. Don't ever let somebody else determine your mood for the day.
I know.
And I will try to live by that. And if somebody starts to bother me, I think about that, and I'm like, you know what?
I know.
Put that back into my mind again, and that's it.
I need to do that. I need to remind myself.
It's a really good thing.
That this is where you go to mentally when something like that happens. And it can be liberating, you know? Yeah, it can help.
For me, it's pedestrians. And especially when you they are screaming and screaming, and they're holding onto the front of your car.
Oh, the bumper?
I'm not going to let them ruin my day.
All right. So what about you guys? What pound for pound makes you? It could be a little thing. It could be the ultimate whatever. What just really seethes you?
I get irrationally angry when I'm in a situation, especially a travel situation, where I have zero control over it. And if a flight gets canceled or delayed and I'm in the, like, there's nothing that I can do about it. And I think the fact that I can't do anything about it makes me even angrier in the first place.
You prefer, so I can connect to, that's why, honestly, I don't like the taste of alcohol. Absolutely. I've gotten, in my life, that's why I don't drink. And also, I know that a reflux situation could occur, but also the notion of not being in control drives me crazy and can make me very angry. And yeah, I've learned to control that.
That's good, because when it comes to being in the airport, like if I've taken the time and gone through security and done all of those things, and then I put a lot of stock in going to where I'm going to go and the relaxation that that's going to bring to me. And then when that's denied to me, I get stupidly angry.
Do you know what's very liberating in the airport? Do what I do. Have a pilot outfit ready. Go into the bathroom, change.
Yeah.
Get on board the flight.
Okay.
With a clipboard.
All right.
Here's a couple of texts just to let you know, some other ideas that people have that pound for pound gets them the most angry. This says, at the gym, people sit on their phone for 20 minutes on a weight machine.
Yeah.
Especially in the 30-minute circuit room.
That is vile. Have some perception. I always think of other people's time around me. It's something that was, my parents, when we were kids, be considerate of other people's time.
Yeah, I agree with that. But there's nothing, I can't think of anything. Traffic makes me angry. Sitting in a doctor's office, the fact that they think that I have 2 hours to wait in their waiting room just to see them, like their God, pisses me off to no end. But it doesn't...
What makes you seething?
That's what I mean. I don't know.
You don't,
a person.
It's okay if you don't.
A person.
Yeah.
Like a person who specifically does something. That would maybe make me seething angry. No, I don't think you've ever made me seething angry.
Oh, wow.
You've made me angry for sure in the past. do you know what I mean?
Like you almost can't see straight. You're so livid.
That would be like a person doing something. Like there's not I'm not actually mad at the doctor. I'm mad at the situation.
Yeah.
But it's not getting me where, like you, Preston, were like screaming and yelling. I wouldn't be like that.
Bullies are another thing. I just, the idea of it, people that are just mean, to be mean. It makes me so unbelievably mad.
Do you have a situation where you catch yourself being mean and you realize?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure I have.
Yeah.
I try to think of that.
Yeah. And then it's like.
Preston.
This is the last thing I want to be.
So I was at an Eagles game a month ago, something like that, and I'm in the bathroom, and there was a gentleman in there who all right, so I don't know the right vernacular, so just know if I say the wrong thing, I'm not trying to be offensive
because
I'm on their side. But I don't know if this person was transgender or a cross-dresser or they just, were dressing flamboyant, but they were in like pink and they had a little bit of face makeup on. And obviously you notice this person because they stand out because everybody else is wearing green. Right. And I love that this person was at the game. Right. But this person walked past some mook and that mook had an issue and turned around. And he goes, "What are you? What are?" And I was like, "Oh my God. Whoa.
Dude.
Oh.
Did you say anything?
No, because that dude could have killed me.
Yeah. Right.
Right. I mean, he could, I'm 5'7", and, sober, and this dude was, 6'2", and,
But sometimes you can't bite your tongue. Sometimes, you find yourself in such a rage where you lose control of the ability to not do something. So, good on you for biting your tongue.
So that's a universal. That's racism. That's, something that would just, it's just an aberration. I think you're talking about in a situation like normal interaction with not a lunatic would do something like that, right?
Yeah.
Like those lesser moments. But you know what I'm saying? So
sure.
Were you most conflicted over not jumping in and making your feeling known?
No.
I mean, obviously the guy was a jackass for doing that.
It was also it was a crowded bathroom. So I don't know who's on my side. You know what I mean?
But you got angry.
I got angry, and I've never, ever have ever seen a situation. I've never encountered, and I've been alive for a long time, and I've been with transgender people, and I've been with cross-dress, and I've never seen anybody talk
blatantly
like,
go like that.
I was at first, I was like, is this actually really happening? Like, does that, you know? And yeah, I'm a little bit upset that I didn't say anything, but this dude's not there. He doesn't want to have a lesson on how to treat people.
Right,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Mm.
Wait, so I found something. John on line two is, yes, this makes me seething right, angry.
Let me go to him. Hi, John. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, am I on the air?
You're on the air, buddy.
Oh, is this a Kathy and Marissa show?
Where's Marissa?
Yeah, why?
Now you get one more question. God. We give you three questions per introduction.
Call it.
All right, so yeah, my thing is, and it happens more often, especially as I get closer to like 50 years old, I lose things. But it's not something that I lost from a long time ago. No, I set it down like 5 minutes ago.
Yes!
Yes! Oh. Yes.
You That's know, it. It's over there. Oh, maybe it's in the car. No, it's in your car. I know, it's on the table. Oh, my God. And I get, like, livid in, like, 3 seconds.
And you want to blame someone else, and you can't. It's your own fault.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I look at my lovely wife, and I'm like, oh, my God, why did you lose it?
I'm with you. And, John, a lot of times it happens with my phone in my house. And here's the deal. We work in a studio with microphones. My phone is muted all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah,
so, you know, do you want me to call it? It's not going to do anything. And that's me yelling at me, you know?
Quick question.
Even better, Ray, for me is my stereo at home, you know, it's older. So I plug in with the audio cable when I want to listen to, like, my songs on my phone, right? And I will do that. And the music is going. And it's just Saturday, you know. We're doing stuff around the house. And I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm like, where is my phone? And I literally forget that it's sitting by the stereo plugged in playing
music. Yeah, playing music for you.
Like, oh, my God. And I'm starting to get upset. My wife's doing something else. She doesn't notice. And then she's like, whoa. It's playing music.
Well, here's the deal. By the way, and this might be a question because it's happened. When you have your phone muted, if you use the Find My Phone app, you can have it play a sound that will override
the
it being on mute.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the good thing about the watch, because I just tell my watch to find my phone and then it finds it quickly.
All right. So, and we have all encountered this when you drop something on the ground and then you go to pick it up.
Are you dropping it?
No.
Oh.
And you can't, like, you bend down and then you come up and you don't have it. You can bend down, you come up, and you don't have it. How many times do you do that before you actually, like,
first,
out loud yell, mother effer, like, you know what I mean? Like, you just drop a piece of paper and you bend down. Oh, I don't have it. Oh, my God. I think three
after
times.
After the fourth, I'm done. I'm angry. Yeah, I'm out. Yeah. Three, you start to teeter on it. And then number four, you're like, F you, paper.
Or it's like trying to open up something like a package or whatever it may be. And there's a little bitty strip you're supposed to hold on to and grab to peel the beginning part of it off, and it won't freaking budge. I hate that. That gets me really pissed off.
And you feel like a jerk for getting upset at that. But it's a natural reaction.
For me, I feel like it's the little things that really get to me the most. It's not the big things. Like earlier this morning, I went to go pick up. I had all the sponsorship papers in the other studio, and I went to go pick them up, and I accidentally pushed two of them off the other side of the counter. And the Gina and Annie, they just hear me go, mother effer, right? And they looked at like, what's wrong? And I'm like, oh, I just dropped two pieces of paper. You know what I mean? Like,
yes. Oh, thought of something else.
No, yesterday, Steve, I was getting on the elevator. And I just hear in the elevator, like, mother effer, right? And it was Pierre. And I heard Pierre's voice. And I'm like, what? And then the elevator door opens. He's the only one. And then the elevator door opens, and I just hear peace and love. All right? He's the only one in there.
He does tell himself that.
I was like,
You want to hear a tirades, Pierre, and it'll be great because, you know, and he really is a centered, loving beacon of light. But when things go asunder,
you
will hear him explode, and he'll come out of, and don't forget, of course.
It'll be like, mother ever, and then literally you'll hear a half second pause, and it's 93.3 WMMR.
God damn! We are back.
To his credit. He does not take it out on people. Being around it can be scary, but yeah, he doesn't yell at people. He doesn't yell at interns or you know anybody on the staff.
He's yelling at himself.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, so pound for pound, what makes you just get you absolutely disturbingly angry? I'll go to Danielle. Hey, Danielle, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, Danielle?
What really irritates me, I've been in the retail business for over 20 years, usually fast food. What irritates me the most is when somebody comes in on their cell phone and will not pause their conversation to engage with the cashier. Whether I'm behind the counter at the cash register or I'm in line waiting for my food, like waiting at, you know, Wawa or whatever, just get off your phone for 3 seconds. Your conversation is not that important that you can't engage, or when they throw the money on the counter at the cashier, that irritates me.
It's just in general rude, and I've seen that happen where somebody would be exactly that scenario. They're talking. They don't even acknowledge the cashier. They throw the money across. Likewise, on the other side, when a cashier is ringing something up and they just stand there and the amount, no interaction, you know, the amount comes up and that's equally.
Yeah.
And I will say, you probably want to say to me, that'll be $4.30, sir, correct? Yeah. You know, that's a simple acknowledgement and accommodation. When you're on the phone and someone just doesn't exist to you at all, mm-hmm. it's very, a musician just recently did it. Someone came up to them and was filming them, like it was recording them on the phone without even just saying, would it be okay if I grabbed a little video? Or, and he took the phone and threw it into the,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing about the person at the register not saying anything, it's like, look, okay, I know you don't want to be here.
Right.
I don't want to be doing things as well, but you know what we do? We suck it up.
Yeah.
And we play our part.
That's what we do.
And we engage with each other.
That's why
do it.
When you encounter someone who's pleasant, and so I make sure, and by the way, we've talked about this many times, where you're quick to go complain to a manager of inferior service, take the time to compliment to a manager superior service.
Yes, agreed.
I did that for a cashier at Target because she has been there for years. She is still there.
I don't need your charity, bitch.
No, her name is, it's either Deb or Debbie. And she is like a delight every time you walk into any person that walks by her. She says hi to all the kids. Like she's just, and
it's great.
I contacted Target and let them know.
Preston, good. That's like Francisco over at the Wawa in Rio Grande.
Yes.
Francisco, that's fun to say.
This makes your day.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go to Rachel. Hi, Rachel. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Wonderful. So pound for pound, what gets you absolutely the most angry?
It's very irrational, and I totally understand, and I think I need to take all of your advice and learn to let things go. But I have two large dogs. They're both about 70 pounds. They're pretty well behaved. I walk them 2 or 3 times a day. And without fail, probably once a week, some older white man will drive by and stop at a stop sign and say the exact same thing. And they will say, are you walking those dogs or are they walking you? Like they're not being rude. They're not doing anything. It's just because, like, I'm a smaller woman and I have two large dogs. Entitled to say something to me about it.
And for whatever reason, that just gets to you.
Gets under my skin, and I cannot figure out why it is so triggering.
Mm-hmm. And have you tried a mantra? Repeat to yourself, kill to the dogs.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. All right. Kill!
I mean, repeated phrases and obvious ones are definitely can be a pet peeve for some people. I mean, I do get from time to time the face for radio thing, and I just always laugh and I go, oh my God, where did you hear that? Oh my God, I have to use that sometime.
Listen, and get out of your head, if someone has come to you with that in a very benign way.
Right.
It's like, why? And I know I try to slam on the brakes. I do. A lot of times, and it's Paul guys will come over. I go to the same barber.
Right.
I go, I got it. Or they'll say, you look just like my Uncle Pete. And then they'll show a picture of Uncle Pete, whose face was a wood planer was run across it. And I'm like, just because I'm bald, I look like this guy? But you have to remember, you know, in context, it's a benign thing.
And sometimes they're just trying to make a connection.
And that's it. Yeah. Yes. That's it. And everyone, and even not just in a perhaps we have a more high-profile thing. Everybody in every day has something like that, like this Rachel said, about being the same thing said to her over and over again. But for the most part, people aren't actually trying to be malicious when they do stuff like that.
Here's a text, and somebody says this pound for pound. This gets him the most angry. Customer service, call people who are incapable of helping you.
You know what? I might be on that one.
Yeah.
I had a horrible thing, Kathy, and I had to just be honest. I was sent to tech support on a phone call. This tech support was clearly out of the country.
Right.
And I wanted to
be communicate.
As kind as I could be. I felt bad about being in the situation. I'm attempting to fix a problem with a device I have. I said, I do not mean to be rude, but I cannot understand what you're saying at all. And I feel bad about being in that situation.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But if you literally can't, it's like we need to communicate here. The customer servicing being passed around from person to person is just, I can't. After being on hold for a length of time, it's just, I can't stand it. That's why I appreciate the ones that have the option to call you back.
Do you come in hot or do you come in passive aggressive?
If I've been on hold for a long time, passive aggressive probably.
That's my thing.
Yeah.
I let them know, like I will outright tell them because I don't know what the other person on the other line, if they know how long I've been waiting, they probably don't. So I will let them know that I'm irritated at the fact that I had to wait that long.
If you can impress upon that person, and again, don't lose your temper. A lot of times you'll have something turn, do a 180 and they'll go and they'll stick with you and help you. But it is annoying as F when you feel you're just being ignored over and over and over again when you're falling in that chain.
Well, this could be a customer service chat, but I will make the customer service representative stay on the line with me. After I get them on, I make them stay on the line with me until whatever it is I'm calling about
is fixed.
And so I had an Amazon rep stay on the phone with me. She goes, you'll get your refund in 2 to 3 hours. It was the fourth time I had called for the refund and it wasn't going. I was like, okay, well, then we're going to have to wait because this is the fourth time I'm calling and I don't have it. And miraculously, it came more than whatever it was, 2 to 3 hours into my account. And I was like, oh, here it is. I see it. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And I made her wait on the line with me.
Okay. Remember the rules now.
All you have to do is follow 3 simple rules.
Okay.
1, never underestimate your opponent. Mm-hmm. Expect the unexpected.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
2, take it outside. Never start anything inside the bar unless it's absolutely necessary. And 3.
Yeah.
Be nice.
Ooh.
Oh.
Okay.
Until
it's time to not be nice.
But what if somebody calls my mom a whore?
Is your mom a whore?
Is she?
Oh, that's right. I forgot. She is
a
whore.
She's a raging whore.
She's a liar whore, liar whore. And she knows it.
Oh, my God.
That's all there is to
liar
it.
Liar whore, and you know it.
You're right. Can I get you a beer?
Let me go to Simon. Hi, Simon, you are on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy. What's up?
So, I guess this applies to a couple different things, but people that have no situational awareness of what's going on around them.
Uh-huh.
So, an example is someone with the grocery cart in the aisle, and they stop to look at their phone, and clearly I'm trying to get to the pickle jar behind them. Or
Pickles are good.
Drivers do it a lot of the time, too. They'll stop in weird spots or waiting in line. The guy doesn't realize what's going on. So it's a lot of it has to do with being on phones.
Simon,
and stuff like that.
So you bring up something that is that on the phone. So if you're walking, like say you're walking along the concourse of an airport and you're in the main flow of the people moving along.
Yep.
If I'm going to stop, I move off to the side.
Yeah, that's
people who will just stop.
No,
and then you know you're right up on top of them as if there's no other person in the airport. That to me is just very obnoxious, and that's what you're talking about. Spatial awareness, awareness of people around you, and that courtesy of trying to get out of the way and not be in someone else's way.
Yeah, kids have zero spatial awareness, and I always try and impress upon my children forever have spatial awareness. And I was at the gym a couple of weeks ago with my son, and there was just this kid. I mean, I literally almost hit this kid in the face with the dumbbell three times in a matter of 10 seconds. And I said to my son, I go, this kid's not an a-hole. He just is a kid, and he doesn't pay attention to, like, anything around him. You know what I mean? I'm like, but you can do better. You know what I mean? Like, don't be this kid. You
right.
Know? Simple as that.
Simon, that ranks way up there with me, man. I appreciate it. Thanks.
I thought of another one real quick. Before you go. So my name is Simon, and I'm a wedding photographer. And the amount of time I've heard groomsmen or anyone go, Simon, sit ahead.
Simon said,
I've never heard that. Where'd you come up with that?
It doesn't matter what your job is. You're going to get that. You know, I get Casey and the Sunshine Band, Casey Kasem. It's just what, you know?
By the way, there was another caller up, and I didn't get a chance to go to them, but they were pointing out, they said entitled people, meaning like someone who cuts in line or feels that they are more deserving than you are.
Right.
And that can be in traffic. That can be in a line. And that, was I on air? Was I telling you guys a story?
The other day.
I was in Atlantic City.
It might have been yesterday.
That's a perfect
example. You were in line for food.
I was so angry. I mean, like, I almost wanted to hit this person. Yeah, yeah. Like, and the big part of it was, is for some reason I got this, my pride felt damaged.
Uh-huh.
I am better than you. Get out of my way. Was what I felt like that person was doing. Now, what was happening? Probably not.
No.
But it felt that way. I had lost face.
Yeah.
My honor was hurt. And part of that's me. Part of it, a little bit, is you shouldn't take things that seriously. You shouldn't take these little inconveniences. But there are times when it feels like you're just being stepped on.
Do you know
what? God, does that make me mad.
Ultimately, again, if you stop and think about it, you win by not succumbing to the rage. Like, in other words, I always say this. People who are like that and who are recidivists like that have already received their sentence.
Yeah.
They have to live as that person. And so their sentence was decided long ago. They're just foul people.
Yeah.
Whereas you won't be a victim to that.
There is a way. The better part would be able to know the right things to say in a situation like that. And Casey, like with this homophobe that you encountered the other day, you know, you may not, by aggressively confronting that person, is going to be counterproductive. It's only going to make them more angry. It's going to make you more angry.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to help out in any way, shape, or form. But if there's a way to pull kind of a Mr. Rogers type of, hey, can I just ask you?
Can I put my sweater on?
Yeah, can I put my sweater on and have a conversation with you? There is a way to do that, and there are people that are really good at that. I've known a few of them,
right.
And I'm like, man, I wish I had that, whatever that is,
mm-hmm.
that in the heat of the moment, you find the right way to discuss or defuse, and it's a talent. It really is.
But, it's hard in the moment to get to that place.
It really is.
Maybe you should. What you should have done is followed him in the stall.
Well, no, said, I mean, listen.
Can we talk?
I have had.
Let me get those buckles for you.
Oh my God! Press.
Look hard. Is that a button fly?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's all right. Yeah. No, I had a situation where there was a guy who got punched at a sporting event, and I was there. The dude got sucker punched, and he was. Listen, and I understand he just wanted to, like, destroy the dude, and I didn't know this guy. I didn't know the other guy.
Yeah.
But I kind of got in his way. I go, dude, I'm like, you're going to get arrested. Simple as that. I go, and he was actually bleeding.
Yeah.
Because he got punched one time.
Oh,
he was kind of bleeding out of his eye, and I was like, and I probably shouldn't have. I should have just not even gotten a butt. But the dude, he looked at me. He saw me. He heard what I was saying. And he calmed down and he walked the other way. But I was like, dude, like, nothing good is going to happen if you go after this dude. I'm like, I promise you, you're going to get arrested.
And that's how you punch your wife. I had to punch someone.
There's a school administrator I know that we could all sit down with him because I don't know how he does it. But
he's got a way.
He stays calm in every situation. He had somebody yelling at him the other day going, I don't understand how you stay so calm in all these situations. Like, literally screaming at him.
Adam. And
that's
like,
that's
oh.
just, it's just a worse, it's a horrible thing because it makes you feel bad about yourself. Well, and it becomes this,
yes.
this circular thing that you're trapped in. And then you feel bad about that. And then you feel bad about that. And you slide down that hole. And that's why, again, the things that I've employed are the two things, the watcher and I call it getting outside of my head. Step away. Clear the morass of crap that's going on, because in the moment you're you know, take that breath. Yeah. If you talk about Casey, yeah, he could have punched that guy. That guy could have fell back, hit the corner of a table, and died.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Those things do happen. Yes,
there was a guy who was in our Cub Scout group, and he was one of the leaders, and Steve is his name, Steve Bakey, actually. And I remember there were a couple times where kids were, you know, one was being bratty or rude or bully or whatever. and my reaction is, hey, you, what do you think you're doing? Yeah. Stop that, right? You know, I didn't do that.
Yeah.
But that would be my reaction. But his reaction is, hey, can I talk to you for a second?
Right. Yeah.
You really think this is the right thing to do? And just defused it, calmed him down. The kid saw the picture. I'm like, God, I wish I could do that.
I couldn't do that.
God, I wish I could do that. Shut up!
I routinely have sex with your mother. Wait, what?
What the hell is wrong with you?
I routinely bend your mother over and take her, and she loves it, and she tells me what a bad boy you are. Now get back in the game.
Todd Glass has a really...
Get back in the game!
Todd Glass has a really great bit about... He goes, you know, walking into, you see somebody in the worst situation where they're yelling at their child, right?
Yeah.
But you don't see them like the 10 minutes or 5 minutes before where they get down, like, hey, listen, you know, this is not the time to be doing this.
And you realize it led up to that. Yeah. I tried. Uh-huh. I made every entree into the right way.
I remember one time, and it lives in my mind, and I see it all the time, Preston. It was, had to be 25 years ago. We were at Universal, Claire, my wife and I, and we're walking in the park. And as we're walking in, there's this little kid who's looking up at his mother, and he obviously had done something bad, and the mother was, you know, yelling at him. And when you see those moments in time, I'm sure she had reached a point where he had frustrated. But my heart aches so badly for that little kid. Yeah. I can see exactly what he looked like. And here he is in the most amazing place you could be at, having this wonderful moment. And I just wanted to say, it's going to be okay, buddy. Aww. You know, and so, but all that time lapses. That's how impactful those moments can be.
It's like that. There was a meme that went out a long time ago, but it was, you know, the mom, put your shoes on. Put your shoes on.
Yeah.
Put your shoes on. Put your shoes on! And then the kid, God, why do you get so angry?
I always think about Casey at the 4th of July parade.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah. And what led up to that moment of just heated...
No, there was no heated. You have to... You're misrepresenting the story. I had... calmness, and there was calmness in my voice, but the words that I was saying were not very calm.
Right.
Yeah. I was, you know.
But
I was,
it built up to that, right?
Oh, God, yeah. But I bent down, and I had a smile on my face, and I was like, if you guys don't shut up, I'm going to yell.
All right, hang on. I want to go a completely different direction with the thing that pound for pound just gets you the most angry. It's Brittany who we're going to go to next. Hi, Brittany. Good morning. Good. What's up, Brittany?
Hi. So I have, like, the most undesirable hate to onions. Like,
okay.
I hate them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually a pretty nice person. At least I would like to think so. But I have a very specific onion story. So a little over a year ago, I went with, like, a group of women for brunch at this really nice restaurant. The food looked amazing, and I was really, really excited. You know when you're just sitting there so excited for this meal?
Yeah.
So I ordered an omelet. I specifically asked for cheese, mushroom, tomato, and broccoli. Well, it came out, and it had everything except for the tomato, but it had onions in it. So me being polite, I said, excuse me, can you please take this back? I asked for tomatoes, and there's onions in it. And they come back with it, and it looks fine.
Oh, God.
I take a bite of it, and there's still a little bit of onion in it. And you know what I realized what they did? They opened the omelet
and pushed it down.
Out,
yeah.
Oh.
And
they put tomatoes in it.
That way, and I was livid, except I didn't tell the group of women I was with about it because I didn't want to make a scene or embarrass
well,
them.
Well, Brittany, you remember, this just happened recently, James Corden had a thing.
Yeah.
It blew up into this huge
That's
thing
right.
with his restaurateur in New York. His wife had a specific request. He claims the food came out twice without the element removed.
And she was allergic.
Allergic, right? And it blew up into this thing. There's something based around food, and also the anticipatory delight in, oh, I'm getting my omelet, and it turns out to not be what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand your ire, even if it seems to be like, it's just onions.
What ended up happening, Brittany?
I ended up taking it home, and I told the people I was with, like, oh, it was great having brunch with you, thanks. And I come home to my fiance, and I just let it out how angry I was. I did go as far as giving them a bad review on Google. I gave them a bad review on Facebook, but I don't curse. I just simply said, like, look, my experience is not good.
Yeah.
I am unhappy. Like, onions do, for real, they make me so angry. It's the one thing that'll turn me into a toddler.
No, I understand. You got to give yourself give yourself a pass to be that way. I don't write bad review. I don't. There's a business in my town that I normally would go to, but they kind of know the show and they know me, and I stopped going because they failed to get my order right.
Oh, you have to tell me what it is.
And so I don't want to make any mention of it because I don't want someone to get fired.
I understand not wanting to review if it's just mistakes like that.
Right.
What I will not tolerate, and I've never written bad reviews, but I would definitely take the time to do that, is for rudeness.
Mm-hmm. It's
straight up rudeness.
Yeah.
Like that a-hole bartender by the tower. Mm-hmm.
The Waterford.
Oh, my God. That was a night I wanted to reach over and strangle someone.
I wrote one for, it was a specialized gym that had opened, and they invited me for a free class, and the owner was so rude.
Just
when I
rude.
Walked. I mean, beyond, I thought he was so rude, I thought he was joking, and he wasn't, and I wrote a review. Well.
Can I talk to you for a second? I routinely have sex with your father. All the time.
Yep.
And tells me what a bad boy you are.
We're not going to be able to go to the other calls because our guest has arrived. But real quick, Terry, thank you. Terry says when people take up two parking spaces.
Oh, God! So
angry that they can't handle it.
I forgot about that one.
I'm the same way. Krista says when people use a handicap spot when they don't need it. Her daughter needs a handicap spot.
Happened yesterday.
There's debate over which way the toilet paper goes, over or under.
Over.
That gets under Taylor's skin.
Over!
Really?
I didn't. I actually just recently realized that this was a thing in households.
Depends on where you are in relation to the equator.
Taylor, hang on the line. Taylor's been on hold for over a half hour. I want to give Taylor some beer, Casey.
Okay.
For the trouble.
Yeah, we got
People Who Talk in Movies. That's Janine. Yep. Obviously, we've covered that one before. And Betty, I agree with this. People who drive by with the super duper loud car shaking speakers. It's just, especially if you're stopped at a light and it lingers for a while, I can't stand that.
I think there has to be a medicinal benefit to playing it that loud, though, Preston. You know, obviously, eventually. I don't know how those people don't eventually end up deaf. I mean, when I can feel the vibration from my house, that's a little too much.
I live at a stop sign, and I get it weekly at about 2:30, 3:30 a.m.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Because they're usually coming from one town going to the other.
By the way, we're going to set up Taylor with a case of Voodoo Ranger Fruit Force IPA, high-flying fruit punch IPA, soaring at 9.5%.
So drink it up and go talk in a movie.
High drinkability and refreshing punch flavor. But thank you for your calls. This has been, do we still have the theme for Stack O Topics?
Of course we do.
Yeah. This has been Stack O Topics. We'll do it again another time. We're going to break because Tommy Davidson is indeed here and is going to be in our studio in just a moment, getting ready to appear at World Cafe Live tonight. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket.
Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Our next guest is performing tonight at World Cafe Live, and the show is called Funny Music with Tommy Davidson and Marcus Mitchell. I'm going to play a little bit of the music for you.
That we had met, the look in your eye was so familiar. Where it went, I forget. Whispered your name in introduction. Darling, my heart filled the room. I knew it was you. Come back in my life.
Shows tonight at 7:30. Tickets
we got Mello in here.
World Cafe Live. That's Tommy Davidson. Yeah.
You know, even, because even the beds you guys got here are funky. Yeah. You know, the musical bed for that company just never. Then I come in, you know, it's like.
No, we love that. Yeah. No, that's really nice, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
You wanted to be a singer initially, right? That was that preceded any thoughts of comedy.
That's the start. With a spoon. And with tinfoil on it, standing on the table, with the family around, you know, and
was jazz always your sort of foundational go-to musically?
No. I can't really remember what I started with, but I started with everything.
Yeah.
You know, I think I got in soul when I discovered I was black.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But before that, I grew up in Laramie, Wyoming. And I'm Fort Collins, Colorado, on communes and stuff.
Yeah.
So it was like you know, Iron Butterfly, you know.
Like hippie communes?
Know. Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. Can I jump in here? Because I'm so curious about that.
Yeah.
I love a hippie band, right? Like, they're like Grateful Dead and stuff like that. I'm so not enamored by, because like, so sometimes I would come out of these concerts, right?
Okay.
And there would be these people who would hand you these flyers to come and live on these communes. Mm-hmm, and it seemed a little appealing to me. It really did.
You're the guy.
Yeah. I don't think I would push my 5-year-old there, though. You know, I saw a lot of stuff at the communes. I was like, okay, I ain't put together till way later.
Yeah. You know? Right.
Yeah, boy.
You know, I was a young adult at the time. I was like 22, 23 years old, and, you know, trying to find my way, kind of lost in this world.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, like a lot of young 20-year-olds are.
Well, you weren't, hey, I'm going to, you had to go because that's where your family was.
Yeah.
I was telling you, Tommy, off air, that I just started jumping into your book, Living in Color, What's Funny About Me. And I was telling these guys last night, this is an amazing freaking life. And you made mention of the fact when you found out you were black. Explain how you came into this world when you were born. It's a brutal story that has now turned into something great. But
Yeah. I was actually abandoned in the trash. In the year 1966, I was found.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was two.
Yeah.
Maybe under two.
Yeah.
Coma, starved, contusions in the head the whole night. But my mother, who found me randomly in the trash.
It's amazing.
So she was a white woman from Wyoming. And her husband were down there in Greenville, Mississippi.
Which is like one of the poorest
in the country, you know. Yeah. So they're teachers at Colorado State, and
right?
They heard Kennedy say, "If you look back on this time in history, would you be able to be a white American that did something about the race problem?"
Right.
So they wanted to do that. So they went down there and immunized kids and did that kind of stuff, and did voting drives. And they met my natural mom when they were doing those movements. They came back down there to pick up a program they were doing, and she was gone. You know, and my mother's nosy.
Right.
You know, she said, she's gone. Well, where'd she go? And we think she went to Detroit, but she left her youngest baby at such and such a house. My mom is nosy and went to the house.
Right.
And kids doing drugs in there, and, you know, it was an abandoned house. So she said, something told me when I walked out the door to look under this big tire that was on the top of the trash. And I moved it, and your foot was there.
Oh, my God.
Wow. My God.
You know? And yeah. She said, she moved the trash and had a torn shirt on and said, I will be president in 2-0, and the rest was torn.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
Took me to the hospital. I stayed there 90 days. I lived. Went to Fort Collins, Colorado, where I grew up until I was 5. Grew up on farms and meadows and
so all this
animals
time,
and
mm-hmm. with her.
With her and my brother and my sister.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My sister's was my same age. So we're twins really, but she's blonde.
You related something. You related something. You related something and I saw, I was also reading some interviews with you, and you brought up this point that I thought was amazing. Because you'd say, okay, cats can give birth to multiple colors, and
right.
And you just thought that was you.
I thought that was me.
Yeah,
because you know I'm in farms and
yeah,
and animals are everywhere. So we saw litters. Me and my kids sister play with kittens and puppies and all the time. And you know, I noticed that you know it could be a black cat. It would have a white one, speckled one.
Yeah,
maybe two black ones, a brown one. You know, or a horse could be a brown horse and have a white colt.
Yeah.
So I thought that, you know, that's how we are. You know what I mean? So I'm a brown one.
Right.
Right.
I'm a brown one of whatever we are.
It's wow. Such a pure,
you know what I mean? Yeah.
Innocent concept.
Yeah, until we got to Washington, D.C.
How old were you then?
Like, I was five, and we moved in there in 68.
So you started, like, self-awareness around that age?
Oh, way self-awareness, boy. We moved there the week that King got shot.
Right.
So we moved in during the riots. Me and my sister on the ground. Me and my brother. Tear got, you know, fires. And okay, so we settled in this inner city neighborhood in D.C. because they broke up, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of jobs in D.C. And we come out to play with the kids, you know, and they beat our ass, man.
Wow.
Every day. Every day. And they were calling my brother and my sister White Cracker.
Uh-huh.
And calling me White Cracker Lover.
Because your mom was white.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I just went to her and said, why are they calling me White Cracker Lover? I like graham crackers. You know? You know what I mean? Like,
they're better. Yeah, they taste better.
Oh, yeah. It's so sad, uh-huh. though, when like you know the innocence mean? Is ruined.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. just like, you know, so she said, well, that's what people our color call people. That's what people your color call people our color when they don't like them.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what color am I? She said, you're black. I said, no, I'm brown.
Yeah.
Right.
Like the crayon. She said, yeah, but that's what we call you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I moved out to it got so bad, we moved out to the suburbs of Wheaton, Maryland. That's the first time I heard the N-word.
Right.
I got the FCC note, by the way.
So it got exponentially worse.
Yeah, wait,
The suburbs, which you thought would be.
I was being chased by grown men saying, kill the Nick.
Yeah.
And I was barely getting in the house, and I'd be riding my bike, and a whole truckload of teenagers, kill them.
Yeah.
You know? So I was running in the house, barely making it. They were throwing stuff through the window, shooting them. It was crazy. So
this is late 60s?
This is 69 now.
Okay.
I remember everything, you know.
Yeah.
So I go to my mom and I go, who are these ends? We got to stay away from them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They must be really bad people.
Right.
Oh, geez.
You know, and that's when she said, you know, that's what our people call your people when they don't like them.
Mm.
You know? Our color. And I said, well, what color are you? She said, I'm white. I said, you're not white. You're like beige.
Yes. Kids are so literal.
This is the stupidest damn thing in the world. You guys are mad at each other for colors you not really are.
But in that innocent thing, you're speaking absolute truth.
Yeah, it's like the dumbest thing, you know, but it is the world. So we moved to an integrated neighborhood. And this is a real story, and I'm sticking with it. The white teenagers chased me again.
Yeah.
Killed the neck.
Yeah.
But when the black teenagers came in front of me, the white teenagers went the other way.
Yeah.
And I've been black since that day.
Yeah. Right.
And it's been an education.
Right.
Well, so you know and what I mean? You became, so going back to the earlier point, that's when you became aware of yourself. And that's when you got into the soul music and things of that nature. You're exposed to that.
I pretty much came aware of it as soon as I got to D.C.
Okay.
Because when I got to D.C., my mom is always make friends with everybody.
Right.
So my mom had all these black friends right away. So it's, and I think she did it on purpose.
To give you some cult?
She knew that I was talented. So she'd invite them over and put on James Brown.
Wow. You know, did she have any inclination towards this? Any musical capabilities or nothing?
My family is so far from music.
Yeah.
You know, cowboys from Wyoming, you know.
Right.
But I was, you know, spoiled by them, all the love I got. And I was a spoiled child. And so I'd sing Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud.
Yeah.
You know, just because it was a song. But when I got in first grade, I put up the Black Power Fist doing the...
Yeah,
and I got in trouble, you know, and
so you were making up for lost time.
Listen, my mom, she did it all on purpose. Yeah. This took me time to look back on it. Yeah. But she came into that office, boy, and she looked at the principal and the teachers, and she was like, what's wrong? And they were like, he put up the Black Power Fist. She said, so what? That's all he knows about himself right now. Now, if you want to teach him something new, teach him something new. He just learned the Pledge of Allegiance, just like the other students. So teach him. That's what he knows about himself so far.
It's such a fascinating, unintentional experiment. And a bizarre one, not to call it an experiment, but it's something that is just as a and this is, by the way, let people know again, living in color, what's funny about me, it's just a side promotion, but I just started it. It's riveting.
Tommy, is your mom still alive?
No.
Okay.
No.
When did she pass?
She passed away probably about 12 years ago.
Okay.
But still alive.
I would love still to talk alive. To her. Yeah.
But she got to see a lot of your success, though.
I'm her greatest accomplishment.
Yeah.
I'm her greatest accomplishment. That's a sweet reunion is about her coming back to me through my daughter.
Mm. So who are your inspirations to on the musical side? Obviously, we know the comedy. We're going to talk about the comedy. But...
I'd have to just say the Association, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Grand Funk, Parliament, Rick James, Cameo, Fleetwood Mac, Kansas. Carry on my wayward son. You know, it's all in me, man.
Yeah, yeah.
The Led Zeppelin Kool-Aid commercial.
You need Kool-Aid.
Baby, I ain't fooling. Want a whole lot of Kool-Aid. All right. You know, Peter Frampton.
Do you feel like I do?
Yeah,
you know,
that's a wide exposure.
Just, you know, it all came my way, man.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
that's so cool. So this show is tonight. What can we expect?
Expect the unexpected.
Yeah,
I'm mixing now music with comedy. The saxophonist I'm playing with is excellent. So I'm doing comedy and doing music at the same time.
So Your history, obviously, we know you from the skit comedy in Living Color, and you know, obviously the movies and other the characters you've done, and so on and so forth. But your stand-up career was pretty robust, and you got into the Comedy Store, Mitzi Shore.
You had reading,
yes,
oh yeah,
and you were on a bill with Richard Pryor.
I thought he owned the Sixers.
Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy,
yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, when I first got in.
Wow. So you're
finally got to the main room after 3 years of, like, hitting the pavement.
And the main room's where you wanted to ascend to the main room. And so, you know, be careful what you wish for. Mm-hmm. You end up on that bill, and you were middling for that.
Yep, and we all had the same time.
Explain what that was like. Give us a taste of that.
I mean, you have, like,
arguably, the greatest comedic minds in stand-up of all time.
It was opportunity meets preparation and desperation. You know, but it was, I was ready.
Yeah.
I was ready. I had been put through the fire. I was just about to go home from Hollywood. My mom sent me a couple of days earlier, you know, those big legal pads that used to have the long yellow paper?
Yeah.
She put in magic marker. She folded up a $20 bill and put in magic marker. Don't leave, and I know you need the 20 bucks. And it was just a couple of days before this happened.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And so I get on the stage, and I'm in between the two for four shows, and I got standing ovations, man.
Because the last thing, so I did stand up for a while. Mm-hmm. You would want to either be, you'd want to be the MC, you'd want to be the opener, mm-hmm. but you don't want to be anywhere near following one of those two. And yet you did. And Pryor himself kind of gave you a nice
assessment. Pryor came down to me, man. We were in a little hovel. You know, the green room got the chicks and the food, you know.
Right.
Ours looked like a closet. You know? And he looked me up and down, shook his head, and looked me in the face. He said, man, you're a funny. And walked away.
God.
I called my mom. I was like, I told you not to leave. You know, I told you not to leave, you know.
Wow. That's so cool.
I have faith in mankind.
Yeah.
It happened here in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Not the smack.
Yeah.
I wasn't there. A woman died at my show here.
Whoa. Really?
Yes. Huh. And I have faith in mankind. Oof. I invited her.
Yeah.
So I went to a check cashing place on a Sunday to try to cash my check, and the place was closed. But there was still people in there, you know, yeah. how they lock it, but they're
right,
still,
right.
You know, just lock it behind you because we're closing. No one knows. Yeah. So the people saw me and were like, let him in. And I came in and I was in line, and the people were like, you know who he is? And she leaned over and she said, oh my God.
Yeah.
Hi, thanks for coming. I was like, no, thanks for letting me in.
Yeah.
And so she's doing her stuff and she said, what are you doing in town? And she's been, I said, I'm doing a show. She said, oh man, wow, you have a show tonight. You made my whole birthday coming here. I said, why don't you come tonight? She comes. The two kids, like 20, 22, 23 years old. 15 minutes into the show, massive heart attack.
Oh, wow. My God.
No one knows this, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the team is working on them. We walk everybody out. You know, they say she's gone. I think people knew. But there wasn't a dry eye in the house.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, nobody thought that was funny at all.
Right.
And, you know, we did another show. They left it on me. You know, you want to do another show? I said, yeah, we have to do it. Our job is happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Our job is happy. So we need to, you know, we're like a fireman. Theirs is fire.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ours is happy. So we did another show. But as people were going out nice and orderly, I mean, even the dishwashers were over there, you know, in the corner like, man, this black woman, beautiful. Looks me right in the eyes. She says, isn't this beautiful? And I'm like, what are you talking about? She said, of all the things that God could have used to walk her up to heaven, he used your show. It could have been cancer,
yeah.
car accident, shot, whatever. And I was like, that's now I know what Elton John's talking about. Philadelphia freedom, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's wow. That's wow. wild to think about that.
Yeah.
And it also, I'm sure it gives you an extra appreciation because that's, it's inherently you want to, as a comedian or someone does anything with the music, you want to connect.
Yeah. Yeah, and comedy's all the way around because I was still feeling like, oh man, how could that happen to me? You know, what's going on?
Now I've got this.
No, I saw Smokey Robinson on the plane.
Yeah.
You know, comedy follows me to love me. You know what I mean? And I go to him and I go, hey man, Smokey, has this ever happened to you?
Mm-hmm.
And I told him what happened. He said, nah, man. It's never happened to me, man. He said, but invite all your enemies to your next show because you're killing me, baby.
Oh, shut up.
Oh. That's great.
I have to bring this up, too, because you had last night the Golden Globes. There was a couple of Will Smith references. You had your own Will Smith encounter.
Explain
what went down.
I'm almost something like Chris.
Yeah.
But it never happened, you know, and I'm glad it didn't. And I was really happy about what happened.
Right.
For two reasons. One, I didn't have to feel guilty about what happened with me because he's such a great guy. Last thing I wanted to say was, hey, man, me and him almost got in a fight.
Right.
So that was a secret of mine.
Uh-huh.
You know, and when that happened, I was happy that I was lifted off of that. You know, that it's not just me.
You didn't have the exact same experience. You had a tense thing, but that didn't manifest in a full thing.
Yeah, right? It had been a mutual smack or punch or something.
Right, right, right.
You know, yeah, it was going to that, and luckily Jada was there. You know, she was, hey, guys, and I was like, no, you tell him. You know, and
You were in a movie?
And, yeah, with her.
And you kissed her in the movie.
I didn't find out what it was about until 18, 19 years later.
Wow.
What?
I didn't even know why he
did you find out from him?
Yeah, okay. I did. Because in the book, I wrote it.
Yeah.
And then my author was like, you can't put this in here because you got to get the rights done for them.
Right.
So this was bothering me. I didn't know if that was the reason. You know, I did want to put it in the book. You know, and so I sent it to him.
Yeah.
And him and Jada wrote me an email back and said, it did really happen, man. Put it.
Yeah. Oh wow!
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he was a little, he was kind of fuming.
I mean, he's just, you know, kind of human.
Yeah.
So that's the second reason why I was happy.
Okay.
Because whatever that is that fueled that energy, that he came at me or Chris with, he's got an opportunity to deal with it.
Right.
In one life.
Mm. And you
charge... how many of us have that opportunity to not only have success, you know, but then to have some internal success about growing.
We were just talking about that, about how you process, how you deal with those things that set you off or mm-hmm. those things that you every in your and you talk about it. Mm-hmm. It's a large part of your mm-hmm. existence is bettering yourself. How right. do I become the best version mm-hmm. of myself? Mm-hmm. And so you want to always hope that people have that they can reclaim their better selves.
Yeah. And that, I mean, you know, and that was great to see.
Yeah.
You know, I've been through my down the toilets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And through the love of people around me, you know, and a good universe, you know, pull through it.
Yeah.
So you know, it's you know, we're in this place. We're in this place where we got reward systems and this, that, and the other thing, the things we reach for.
Did you have to learn that? It sounds like with your mother mm-hmm. on your side early on, it sounds like you were getting a really good instruction on how to approach life. Or did you have weaker moments where you had become less than what you wanted
to be? Yeah, I went to Earth University with everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I got a degree.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, it, you know, there was times that that was a problem, you know, with them being white and me being black and stuff that we went through. And, you know, it's just the road.
Yeah.
You know, it's the road we're on.
Tommy, what was it like achieving the success of In Living Color? Because, you know, that I'm always curious as to how fame and fortune affect individuals. And you've had an interesting life. And that In Living Color blew up. You know, it was huge for a stretch. And so I'm curious as to how it affected you.
You know what? For one, the main thing is that I just got touched by a freaking angel.
Yeah.
You know, to have that show in my life.
And did you know that at the time?
We knew.
Yeah.
We knew we were going to be touched by something because we were all the best at the time. Mm-hmm. So we walked in the door and looked at each other. We said, we're doing a show together?
Mm. Yeah, think of that cast. Yeah.
Oh, it's like the X-Men meeting for the first time.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, what? So, you know what I mean? So it was that thing, you know, and then, you know, come the changes of success.
Right.
You know, we were like family. You know, we go to lunch every day, dinner every day, you know, and we didn't know anything about fame. I didn't think we couldn't have. Because when it came, it was just like a freaking, did you see the blob?
Yes, sure. Both of them.
Yeah, it's just no getting away from it.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. You can't shoot it. I mean, it's like, you know, it's nothing. You can't shoot it. You can't burn it.
Cold.
And it's coming at you nice and slow.
Yeah.
You know, I'm taking my time. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's kind of like that thing, you know, and so, you know, that's a surviving thing. That's the thing to survive.
You met Keenan at a party, or he'd come to see. He happened to be on set mm-hmm. of a show you were on.
He saw me plenty of times when I was coming up.
Okay,
at the clubs.
We had him in the studio on his birthday a few years ago.
Okay. Yeah, it was a surprise. Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, he's something else. Awesome. Man. Yep. He's something else. And you know, it was just he knew who was. He's the Dr. Xavier.
Yeah.
Of the whole thing.
He's Professor X?
He knew who the mutants were.
Yeah.
He just took us to the danger room. We got it all together and said, okay, now go get them.
Yeah.
We got too dangerous.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
We got too dangerous. He would come. He said, you guys can do whatever you want. And if you have something, we can always do another take. And blah, 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 blah. Da-da-da. Boy, by the end of that season, he was like, he would come in the room and go, "You man, hey, look, man, look at me, you guys. We're going to get canceled, man. You cannot." You know, we're laughing.
Yeah. That's what always happens, though.
We're laughing.
Yeah. How long was the run?
5 years.
5 years. It's
seems like longer, right?
It was in my wheelhouse. It was one of those things that I never missed it every single week.
And Casey, it was the must quote, must. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
And you know, having this job.
Radio was the.
Yeah.
What made us.
Yeah.
You know?
Having this job has allowed me to meet a lot of the stars of that mm-hmm. show. So having you here, mm-hmm. you know, on multiple occasions mm-hmm. is a huge honor for me. We've had David Alan Grier sit in that mm-hmm. seat. Like you said, Keenan, Sean, Marlon Wayans. Mm-hmm. We haven't had Jim Carrey in here yet.
Okay.
You know, but, you know, I.
He's here.
What's that? Is he here?
Yeah. He's on the roof crying. What are you crying about?
He's been a little emotional lately.
He's on the roof crying right now. No, that's we were friends before in Living Color.
Yeah.
Yeah, our daughters are the same age. You know, we were comic at the Comedy Store, so we do birthday parties and stuff like that. Now they're 35.
Yeah,
it's crazy. We knew each other back then, and then once the show came along. So you know, we have a through line that came before it.
He and Damon Wayans are two that I would love to meet those guys.
Yeah, you know, I just, you know, we all just got really lucky.
Yeah.
You know,
no, you didn't.
Like we can be.
Luck plus talent.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
you got to have both of them. Yeah, you got to have both of them. But the thing is that I always try to give this advice. Never, you know, what you see is always realize that there are people that can do exactly that. And there are there's a whole tremendous amount of people out there with extraordinary talent that you'll never know about because the break didn't happen for
them. That's right.
You know?
Yeah, except now there's YouTube and you can see them there.
Yeah. You know, it seems like the way of this thing we live on.
Yeah, yeah.
This blue thing we live on, you know. We can go to the grocery store and see like heaps and heaps of ice cream. You see trucks.
Yeah.
Mack trucks full of cookies and this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, I go to Djibouti, Africa, or Mexico, or somewhere like that, or even Detroit, you know, and people are under a bridge with, you know, a cracker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, so it's where we live, you know, and you know, I think the whole forever thing, you know, got kind of pulled.
Yeah.
Because we don't need to be here that long.
Yeah.
You know, we need to just do it right, and leave it up to eternity.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? No, it's a very healthy attitude.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, it's Tommy Davidson, who's going to be at World Cafe Live tonight. Tickets are on sale. You can get them at worldcafelive.com. It's funny music is the name of the show.
People are going home, I thought that was Dr. Phil on there, man. Dr. Phil got a black accent all of a sudden.
How are you finding that the music and comedy live are playing together? Is it a nice you love the balance?
Yeah, it's a good balance, but there's two different art forms.
Yeah,
and they're
it's all about timing
music,
now.
Music, boy, I tell you, music is like a beautiful woman. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you ain't gonna know what to do no matter what.
That's a great way to put it.
Sadly, you ain't gonna know what to do no matter what.
Uh-huh. It's an essential. We've talked on the show. Occasionally, you'll come across somebody who says, "I'm not into music." Like, there's nothing available to you that you can find that you enjoy because it is literally what the station has been about for years, providing a soundtrack for people's lives.
I know.
You know.
I know. You know, hey, you know, like I said, we're on this blue chip now.
Yeah.
And just that little bit of the song we played, I heard a little, and that's all that I've heard of it, unfortunately, but I'll listen to it more. I heard almost a little Al Jarreau.
You know, this is a business, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I had to think strategy. You know, how am I going to enter into the music business? I wanted to do it in a genuine way.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be able to come in here and do something that I could do really, really well. For a certain audience.
Right.
Because the way that things are now, divided into social media and all of this stuff, you know, I'm somebody who can be eating a pickle on the porch couch in Buffalo can critique my album. You know what I mean? Right. You know what I mean? So I don't know if I want to subject myself. You know what I mean?
You got to impress the pickle guy.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You know, never get a picture of the person that made the comment. You know what I mean? Right. I don't think Tommy Davidson's album is, you know, and you look and he's over a paint bucket. You know what I mean? You know, he's got a living room couch
from
the 70s on his porch.
Right.
You know, with kittens. You know what I mean? It's February, you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
It sounds very specific.
Yeah, it's very specific.
Who knew he was a jazz fan?
Yeah, it's very specific. You know, I got that from when what was it, Amazon?
Yeah.
Whatever, you know, went to do my book.
Yeah.
You know, and so they had comments, you know? And this is when I discovered that comments and social media is like the bathroom stall. Anybody can say something, everybody gets to read it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're not going to go in the bathroom stall and go, let me write this number down. Yeah. Let me quote that. You know what I mean? So all these comments were there, right? Mm-hmm. I love the book. This is great. You know, some of the stuff bothered me, but, you know, all in all, this, that. And then there was one comment that said, you know, I really liked Tommy Davidson until I read the book. And I'm like, you know, Amazon, why'd you have to put that? Like, like the owner can go to the moon. Owner can go to the moon on his own money. You know what I mean? Like, why can't you leave out one bad thing that someone would say about it? That bad. I mean, there's no redeeming quality in none of that. That's just like, I used to like him. And now I don't like him because of the book. So it's like saying, I don't like him because of who he is.
Right.
I found out who he is in the book. You know what I mean?
But you know, we talk about the joke, and it's the classic joke is you get 200 great reviews, and that one that stinks.
I know. But I know the real thing.
The
real thing is, you know, that person got loved.
Yeah.
And don't know what it's like. You know, but at least they got loved.
Yeah.
Because they got loved in one way or the other. Because they had to say it. You know, they had to say it. So they read it.
I got a text on one of the past, as long as we do have to wrap up, unfortunately. But this person says,
doggone it!
It says, Tommy's story is amazing. Thank him for being a beautiful human being, especially for what he went through. So there's some great comments.
I will say that I used to like Tommy before this interview. Now I love him.
Thank you.
Looking out on my lonely room day after lonely.
Is that Badfinger?
Yeah, great song.
I'm gonna get your book.
Now I remember the last
time. That was Sammy Davis Jr. doing
I remember the last time we had you, and you immediately just launched into Philadelphia Freedom, just like that. Before I even asked you one question.
Yeah, I got a new Sammy verse. I got my eye, it's out.
Wow.
I love it.
Well, World Cafe live tonight.
Thank you. Now I got a new one.
Funny music with Tommy Davidson and Marcus Mitchell on sax. I wanted to mention him because you're talking
really
about
good
radio. So,
Come out and have some fun.
Listen,
I'll be there.
It's wonderful to see you. Thanks for coming through.
Thank you, man. You guys are still here. Like, radio still exists.
This is real.
You know what I mean?
This is Roundabout, by the way. It's got a long intro.
It does.
I would have gotten to it, but we got to take a break.
Yeah, tonight.
Thank you so much. We know what you mean.
Yeah.
WorldCafeLive.com to get tickets to see Tommy Davidson. We'll take a break, and we will be right back. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show Podcast, 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre Final.
Brought to you this morning by Helium Comedy Club, bringing the laughs to Philly for many years. Helium Comedy has the best comics of today and tomorrow. Live every week. Tickets and lineup at heliumcomedy.com. All right, so a 39-year-old Florida man now faces criminal charges in connection with a physical confrontation on a Park City chairlift that was posted on TikTok and garnered millions of views.
I need to see this video.
So the man from Lutz, Florida, was charged with assault and disorderly conduct. Police say the assault occurred while two men and a woman were riding a chairlift at Park City Mountain Resort. The victim is a 52-year-old man who is also from Florida. Now, the confrontation was recorded by people that were riding the lift two chairs behind the men. After it was uploaded to TikTok, it quickly went viral. The video starts with the 39-year-old man who was sitting on one end of the chair, loudly yelling at the victim who is sitting in the middle. And he goes, "You're going to elbow me in my face?" He then is seen punching the victim in the face while yelling several times, "What's wrong with you?"
Oh, my gosh.
Others are heard in the video screaming at the man to stop. He continues his rant, however, telling the victim, "I'm going to embarrass you." In the video, the man contends that the victim elbowed him in the face, prompting the angry response.
The people filming the video can be heard saying they didn't see anybody throw an elbow in this whole thing. A second video shows the chairlift reaching the top of the mountain where the ski patrol detains the suspect, and an arraignment is scheduled in court for February 27th, by
so
the way.
So somebody must have called, right, or alerted them? Or do they keep an eye on, I assume they do, right? How would they know?
I think it would be pretty hard to see that and watch that going down. I'm guessing somebody called while it was taking place. Because sometimes you can be on those chair lists for a good 20 minutes you know?
Was it two adults?
Yes.
Okay.
50 feet in the air.
Yeah.
Well, because the one video, it looks like there could be, if it's the right chair I'm looking at, it looks like there could be a
kid. They're two behind the people, so it's not the one directly in front, but it's the one ahead of that.
Yeah, right
so.
To the left, doesn't that look like it could be?
It's 39-year-old and a 52-year-old man, right. so they
maybe
were going
little
at,
people.
But I do need to see that. A Florida man is facing multiple charges after hitting an officer with a car and biting another one and then breaking into a dance in traffic. Deputies say that Malik Smith went on a rampage in a smoke shop, causing thousands of dollars in damage. He then turned on officers, hitting one with a car and then later biting one, but not before he took a dance break in the middle of traffic.
He almost forgot to do the dance break.
He's facing
his
charges.
His day was so busy.
Malik Smith went into a mobile gas station around 7:30 p.m. He then walked over to a smoke shop, which is a store inside the fuel stop. Hopped onto the counter and started destroying display cases, causing about $2,000 in damage.
All right, check one.
Then he harassed customers and left. While police were taking statements on what happened, Smith drove back to the back to there and then tried to walk toward the store. He ran off when officers told him to stop. He jumped back into the car, drove around the parking lot before turning toward the front of the store and then driving through it. Smith then started driving toward two officers. One officer was able to move out of the way. The other one was hit by the car. Smith then sped away. About 30 minutes later, officers saw that he was driving to a different car or different. I'm sorry. An officer was driving to a different car when he saw Smith dancing on the roof of a black Nissan Altima in an intersection.
Was he dancing to Whitesnake?
The officer was eventually able to pull him over at the 7-Eleven. The officer took him down to arrest him with an assisting canine officer. In the commotion, Smith bit the officer in the left thigh, and soon after, the canine, Maverick, was called in to help. He was able to get away. An officer pepper sprayed Smith, but that didn't stop him. A taser was brought in. That took him to the ground. And then it took four officers and the canine to arrest this guy.
Wow. You know what this means. this is him dancing on the car.
Yes.
It's drugs, right? Had to be.
Yeah, it didn't say in the story, but I'm guessing he was hopped up on something.
On life.
A cafe owner has admitted to kidnapping a former employee and holding him for ransom after finding him with his hands in the register. Ann Ingo is the co-owner of Mama Hong's Vietnamese restaurant in Sydney, Australia, which became the setting of a dramatic and bloody workplace dispute last year. In March, she and her two business partners noticed money had been going missing from the business. To get to the bottom of the mystery, they installed some motion-sensitive cameras to alert them if anyone entered the premises out of hours. At about 9:15, the owners were alerted to an intruder at the cafe. Engo's two partners, who happened to be nearby, walked into the business to find the former kitchen hand with his hand in the till trying to retrieve the money inside. The ex-employee had copied the cafe's keys and sunk into the business every few days to steal.
Mm.
The owners estimated it was about $2,500 over the two-week period. Engo's partners grabbed the former kitchen hand and assaulted him and cut his hair. These are the people that own the restaurant.
Like a page boy or what?
I don't know how they
what
the style was.
I'm giving you bangs.
After hitting him several times, court documents revealed the partners retrieved a car and shoved the victim into the back seat. They then collected Engo from a suburb before driving to the victim's mother's house. The 37-year-old later told police that the business owners hoped to resolve it without going to the police. The victim's mother was not at home, so Engo called her to tell her that her son had been stealing money from the cafe and comes every night. He's taking a lot of money. She said, if he doesn't give it back, I will take him to the police now. His mom agreed to repay the money and asked for video footage of her son stealing from the business. The business sent bank details, a still image from the footage inside the cafe of the victim with his hand in the till and a photo of him bleeding from the nose in the car. Once she was satisfied that money was paid in full, the cafe owners drove the victim to a park and then cut the cable ties securing his hands. They had kidnapped him.
Yeah. Which you can't really do.
And then they let him go. So now the business owners are going to jail. Engo will be sentenced later this year after pleading guilty to taking and detaining a former employee who stole thousands of dollars from her business. I don't know what the guy who stole this.
Did your parents hold on to all your felony photos?
Yeah, we had a little book that we kept those in. I thought it was kind of sweet. All right, and then one last story. Six journalists in South Sudan have been detained over the circulation of footage showing President Salva Kiir appearing to pee himself at an official event.
Awesome!
According to the National Union Journalists Union. According to the Jerusalem Post, the footage from December showed a dark stain spread down the 71-year-old president's gray pants as he stood for the national anthem at a road commissioning event.
Come on, it could have been poop.
The video never aired on television, but subsequently circulated on social media. So they've been detained over the circulation of this video. Maybe he's just very patriotic and he loses control of his bladder.
I know I get excited when I hear an anthem.
Sure. So
I piss myself.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file. All right, as we take a break, Kathy, I need a caller for secret text word. What number are you going to grab today?
13.
All right, 13th caller. You heard her. You get a chance at winning our prize. Give us a call if you know the secret text word. We'll be back in a moment.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Listen on our mobile app or go to WMMR.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
It's almost 10:30 on this 11th day of January. 45 degrees are high. Mainly clouds going to get cloudier as the day goes on. Tomorrow warming up to 55, but it comes with some afternoon showers. So just be ready for that. We have something to give away. We have a secret text word. Got to get a winner. Kathy called out for caller number 13, so let's go get him. I have Joe who's on the line. Hey, Joe, good morning to you.
Gadzooks,
Joe, do you know the secret text word, please?
Hat trick.
That's correct. Hat trick. You got it. Hang on just a second, Joe. You got yourself tickets to see, in fact, four tickets to see the Wings and their home opener this Saturday, the 14th Wells Fargo Center. And we're going to give a random texter a prize as well. That's Corey Smith from Northeast Philadelphia. And you can be there for all the hard-hitting lacrosse action and affordable family fun. You can get your tickets now at wingslax.com. So congratulations to you. All right, lesson question time. We will give away this prize for this, a pair of tickets to see Bruce Orama. And this is a Bruce Campbell event that's coming up at Keswick Theater, and I'll tell you what all is involved with that. But let's see. We're going to go with this. Who initially started Fat Jack's Comic Shop here in Philadelphia?
Oh, yeah.
215-263 WMMR. Philadelphia legend. One of the great historic figures started Fat Jack's Comic Shop in Philly. Let's see if you were listening and you know the answer. 215-263-WMMR. Call now. While you call, we'll do this.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's see where we go today, Steve. What's happening?
Well, 85-year-old actress Jane Fonda says she was starstruck when she recently got to meet Tom Brady. Fonda says she's always been a huge football fan and, in fact, shares a son with the late John Madden.
What?
Didn't know that, did you? The BTK killer, serial killer, Dennis Rader, says accused multiple murderer Brian Koberger shares many of the same traits he has. In a related story, Koberger's defense team was rushed to the hospital after they began banging their heads against a wall.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Prince Harry is reportedly livid after being written out of the coronation ceremony for King Charles. Harry revealed that he had thought that three primetime specials, a Netflix series, and a tell-all book accusing his father of being a racist would have begun the healing.
Yeah.
And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, we're looking for the answer to this question. Who initially started Fat Jack's Comic Shop
here in Philly. 215-263-WMMR, the number, and I'll go to Adam, see if we can get an answer. Hey, Adam, good morning.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks to you, sir. All right, Adam, who started that Fat Jack's comic shop?
Ben Franklin.
Ben Franklin. Yeah! Yes, one of the founding fathers. Hang on, Adam. We're going to give you tickets to see Bruce Orama. This sounds like a lot of fun. It's two events in one fun night hosted by cult film star Bruce Campbell. Friday, April 14th, I'm sorry, at the Keswick Theater. Part one will be what they're calling a last fan standing interactive trivia contest for fans of fantasy, horror, sci-fi, superheroes, and gaming. Everyone in the audience gets to participate in that. And then part two is a groovy Bruce movie screening, cool, including a Q&A with Bruce. And tickets go on sale this Friday, the 13th, at 10 a.m. via AXS.com.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, we'll start with this. Foo Fighters have announced shows.
Yeah.
They are playing. Do not know who is going to be playing drums as of yet for the band.
Have you gotten a call yet?
No, I've not gotten a call. I'm waiting. I'm
you should.
Foo Fighters, and this is Bonnaroo, by the way. So Foo Fighters are headlining Bonnaroo.
Wow.
Along with Korn, Kendrick Lamar, and Sheryl Crow. They will be performing at the 2023 Bonnaroo Music and Arts Festival in Manchester, Tennessee, running from June 15th through the 18th. Foo Fighters' performance on the festival's final night marks their third officially announced concert since the death of Taylor Hawkins. The band has also announced that it will be appearing May 26th at the Boston Calling Festival,
yeah,
as well. Now, that show, the Boston show, is going to have Queens of the Stone Age, Paramore, The Lumineers, and Alanis Morissette. And that's set for Memorial Day weekend. There'll be 50 bands that entire weekend. But going back to Bonnaroo, some of the performers include Odessa, Lil Nas X, Paramore, Tyler Childers. Is it Childers or Childers? I don't know. Portugal the Man, Charlie Crockett, My Morning Jacket, Marcus Mumford, Pixies, Franz Ferdinand, and then a whole bunch of people I've never heard of before. So those shows are coming up.
Yeah, I'm starting to piece out with all these new bands. I used to be pretty good at it. And now I'm like,
Well, once you get to you know, Coachella,
yeah,
and Bonnaroo and these, they have so many bands. There's no way you can keep up with all of them.
And it's become exponentially excessive. So, like, in the days of the festival shows, earlier on, like Lollapalooza and things like that, it didn't seem like there were 4,400 different acts.
There were like eight,
yeah,
you know, something like that.
But I was always like, because they have these things listed, right? And there's a huge paragraphs worth of bands, and right. I was always good like three down, you know. And now, like, if we're looking at Bonnaroo, and maybe just because it's Thursday night, I've never even heard of the headliners, that, which right. is Zedd's Dead and Liquid Stranger. Never even
I've heard of Zedd's Dead. Yeah,
that's EDM.
Well, I know that from the movie. I know that from.
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Zedd's Dead, baby.
Yeah.
Zedd's Dead.
And that's what he's named after. It's an EDM artist.
Okay. I prefer the band I Don't Know Stop Bothering Me.
I don't know. Stop bothering me.
I like Black Magic Marker.
Yeah.
Me
yeah.
personally.
I felt pen.
Yeah. I like Liar Whore, Liar Whore.
Oh, dude. How about that?
And you know it.
Liar Whore, Liar Whore, and you know it.
Felt Pen and the Black Magic Markers.
I like that.
That's a good band name.
That is a good name. Write that down, I'll add that to the list. I'm going to continue on with music news, but I do like that. Let's see. All right, I teased this earlier. U2 has announced a surprise new album, and it's titled Songs of Surrender.
Surprise.
That's right. which actually, listen to this, it reimagines 40 songs from across the band's catalog. The new set, which drops on St. Patrick's Day, is a companion piece to Bono's memoir, Surrender, 40 Songs, One Story. The band has posted a teaser via YouTube. No track list has been announced, but it's generally assumed that it will follow the trajectory of his book. So it takes each 40 songs, and then he breaks down some information and stories about each one of those songs. So the assumption is that it will be those songs.
Did you hear the one that they teased?
No.
It's really cool. It's an acoustic version of, oh, crap.
I don't know that song.
I just totally lost it.
Next one's called Oh, Crap.
I'm going to turn down the teletype and see if Nick can sing it.
Songs of Surrender is the trailer, and nope, it's not coming
sing
to
it.
Me.
Sing
no,
it.
No, it's not in my brain.
Dance rap it.
Is no. it a Joshua Tree song,
nope.
maybe? No? Okay. Boy. 40.
This is Pride in the Name of Love, Tons of Polka.
It's gone. It's not in my head.
Okay.
You know, every now and then I...
It's now moved into Kathy's head.
I will no, it's not.
My iTunes to see if the U2 album is in there, and I actually checked today. It's not there, so... Because, you know, they downloaded without anybody asking.
Globally.
Yeah. What was that? What song? What album was that one, Nick?
Songs
of the Innocents? Okay.
Yeah.
It's not there.
That one
oh,
I
thank
got.
God.
Oh, okay. Rolling Stone reported some select U2 fans have started receiving handwritten letters from the band that offer a bit more insight into...
Dear Vinny, how's your sister? Does she still have that issue with her nether regions? I recommend a light salve.
I know he's offering up advice.
He's
I guess
it's specific.
Almost anything.
Yeah.
If he'd be writing random people.
I would go with the Dodge Dart. It's more reliable and better on gas.
The handwritten letter apparently offer or that have been sent out offer more insight into Songs of Surrender. One letter signed by The Edge and shared on the fan account U2 Songs reads in part, "The fact is that most of our work was written and recorded when we were a bunch of very young men. Those songs mean something quite different to us now. Some have grown with us.
It's frickin' beautiful day."
Okay.
That's no.
God.
That's the one you couldn't think of?
I know.
Oh, you
this
poor
one's
thing.
Called It's a Frickin' Beautiful Day.
Frickin' Beautiful Day.
Joining us is Charlie Sheen. Frickin' great song.
I couldn't get the song in my head. It was not entering my brain. Thank you, texters.
It's a frickin' beautiful day.
I don't know if it's fatigue.
Don't let it slip away.
Oh, my God. Charlie Sheen doing U2 songs. That would be priceless. So he said that...
The heart is a blue.
That is a freaking blue.
Shoots up.
Oh. Don't know the words. Never figured it out. Freaking silver surfing warlock.
Tiger's blood.
Tiger's blood, all the usuals.
The heart is a blue.
There it is.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
It shoots up through the stony ground. But there's no room. No space to rent in this town.
Frickin'.
You thought you'd found a friend.
Frickin' friend.
To take you out of this place. Someone you could lend a hand in return for grace.
A frickin' beautiful day.
I like it.
Yeah. Frickin' raise your hands.
Don't need it now. Don't need it now. It's a beautiful day.
I wish U2 was still the powerhouse that they once were. Man, did I love that band. And when new music came out from them, it was like, here we go.
Uh-huh.
Here's some really good stuff.
Was the name of the album How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is a great album.
Yeah.
So there's, I agree with you. And, you know, Preston, though, the Cure, one of my favorite bands, they released a collection of their songs all mixed up.
Yeah.
And it
yeah.
has great versions of yeah. songs. So
oh.
I love when they do this.
Frickin' Boys Don't Cry
frickin'
is really
Boys
good.
Don't Cry, yeah. Frickin' Pictures of You.
Oh.
When they release a frickin' album nowadays, there are usually a few good frickin' songs on there, but it's not an entirely
it's not.
Great frickin' record like Joshua Tree or Atomic Bomb. Or
well, Nick, we were talking about Alanis Morissette when that jagged
yeah.
little
yeah.
jagged little pill
frickin'
came out.
Little pill.
Frickin' pills that really hurt your throat because the edges are jagged. You got to take them with milk or something, I guess.
I mean, Elevation is 23 years old at this point, you know?
Wow.
That's crazy.
And Atomic Bomb, I think, is 20
They're
going
to take
old.
The elevator at this point.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, he said, some of the songs have grown with us, some we have outgrown, but we have not lost sight of what propelled us to write those songs in the first place. This is nice. Maren Morris, Ashley McBride, Brothers Osborne, Jelly Roll, and Eddie Vedder are among the artists that are set to perform at an upcoming tribute for the late actor Leslie Jordan.
Ah.
And it was called Reportin' for Duty, a tribute to Leslie Jordan. And it's going to take place February 19th at the Grand Ole Opry House in Nashville. All proceeds from the event will benefit EB Research Partnership, the largest global organization dedicated to funding research to treat and cure epidermolysis bullosa, which I'm not familiar with.
It's a terrible disease. The only reason I know about it is because Jill and Eddie Vedder are very involved in trying to find a cure, and it's this terribly painful skin condition. And, oh.
Is it like scleroderma?
Yes, but think of something like that and make it even worse.
Oh, my God.
And it mostly affects kids, but Eddie and Jill have spent a lot of time in hospitals trying to help these kids, and Leslie Jordan became a family friend of the Vedders, and he contributed a lot of money as well. So it's a good cause.
So the show tickets are going to go on sale this Friday, by the way, at 10 a.m. Central Time, that is, at AXS.com. But the show will take place.
Freaking great show.
February 19th. Eddie Vedder will be there, as you could hear.
Oh, did you guys hear Eddie Vedder doing U2? Speaking of those two together?
No.
At the Kennedy Awards? What
no.
Was it?
What song did he do?
He did one. And he did frickin' one, and then he did another frickin' one.
Okay.
There's a song called Another Frickin' One?
Yeah. It was really good.
Reportin' for Duty, a tribute to Leslie Jordan, will also feature special appearances by Jim Parsons, Anthony Mason, Mayim Bialik, Cheyenne Jackson, Max Greenfield, Margaret Cho, Robin Shaw, and Leanne Morgan, and many other people who were fans of his. So there. All right, and then one last story. I thought this is pretty cool. Robert Plant is crediting Phil Collins for easing him into his solo career. 30 years after his second solo set, The Principled Moments, Plant looked back on his celebrated second act, recalling where he was at, where he was at following the 1980 death of John Bonham from Led Zeppelin. Of course, he said, after John passed away, there was no Zeppelin. There had to be a way to go. I floundered around a lot because until I was 32, I was in some kind of wild and absurd adventure. I went through all this stuff. I'll write with people. I'll write with other people. It was a very intimate thing to do. It's hard for anybody to expose themselves musically. Other people with me and me with other people. I have a lot of songs under my belt, which I co-wrote with the members of Zeppelin.
I realized I couldn't do another frickin' Stairway to Heaven.
He said it was a lot to live up to, and I had a lot of people who gave me support and strength around that time. So I suppose the first two albums were driven by great friends. And he said Phil Collins, especially, was driving force and had positive energy with the first record, Pictures at 11. He said with Phil, it wasn't so much advice as encouragement and consideration. He was taking no prisoners. He would only allow himself a short amount of time to come to the studio in Wales and make it work. He said nobody was hiding behind the performance. Then he came on tour with me and basically said, listen, Robert, the guy that sat behind you for all those years was my hero. That was it. He said, anything that I can do to help you to get back into fighting shape again, I'm here. And that was at a time when In the Air Tonight came out. Yet he was still mixing and working with me while kicking off a particularly impressive and successful time. So, you know, Phil was starting to reach his real potential.
Huge.
And he steps aside and goes, I want to help out this guy.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So wonderful story.
Thought that was pretty awesome. And his
freaking great story.
His drumming is fantastic on Robert's recordings. So it just...
I love those albums.
And you can clearly hear that it's Phil playing drums. It's a very, very signature sound that he has.
So I wasn't aware. Led Zeppelin stopped making new stuff after John Bonham. There was
The album Coda was their last album, right?
What year was that?
In 1980s when Bonham died, and that was... Yeah, there was no question at all. It's like when Neil died from Rush, yes. It's just like, no, the band will never be what it is. Robert had always said that the heart and soul and the real sound of Led Zeppelin was John Bonham.
Oh.
So once he left, they were like, they didn't even stop to have a meeting to go, are we going to keep doing this? No.
He didn't know what he was going to do. He had a brief run as a side character on Benson, which was kind of a weird departure.
Robert Plant
yeah.
Wow, I didn't know they were.
You must be the butler. No.
It was a confusing time for him. He didn't know what to do, so he was branching out and trying his other creative output.
Got slimed.
Where did that take place, Benson?
Where?
Yeah, what was the location?
He was a governor. They worked for the governor. I just don't know what state it was.
He was originally, so the same character from Soap became the governor on Benson.
Yeah.
correct?
Was it L.A.?
No, no. Benson was the butler on Soap.
Yes, you remember what I'm saying. Yes. Yeah. So he but in the series Benson, he was the governor.
He worked for the governor.
Didn't he eventually become governor? He worked for the governor. I thought he became governor.
But in the beginning, he worked for the governor.
I know he strangled the governor.
And I remember Benson's catchphrase was, the door would ring and nobody would go get the door. And he'd turn and he'd go, you want me to get that? it never got old. And that's the story of Robert Plant's solo career, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, man. Oh, my God.
Rest in peace, Robert Guillaume.
I thought you were going to say Robert Plant.
Not Robert Plant.
No, he's alive. Robert Guillaume.
We lost him.
Passed away a few years ago.
5 years ago, yeah.
5 years ago.
He was the British visitor.
Yeah. Do you want to hear Eddie Vedder singing frickin' You Too?
Yeah.
All right.
Where is it? Vox Pro? Yeah. Oh, for sure.
He can sing, and we can understand him.
I know, but that's the one. And I love Pearl Jam, and I love Eddie Vedder too. But the parody that Casey does, of his bizarre vibrato. There are times where I don't like that. I don't like that at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I love the band and I love the music and I think Eddie's a cool guy.
You know what happens more often than not is when he's covering other artists. So if he sings a straight Pearl Jam song, you don't hear that vibrato as much. But when he covers like Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here, and I don't care for it either. And I'm a huge Pearl Jam fan, so it turns me off a little bit.
Maybe it's because you're so used to hearing it the other way with a more smooth delivery.
Yeah.
And when he does that, it's augmented because you're not used to hearing it that
way. For this, they did Elevation as well, and he stepped up. He wasn't supposed to do Elevation, and somebody else wasn't able to make it. Somebody got sick, I think.
Okay.
And so Eddie came in, and the backing band that I had for both of those songs was really good.
Here's Marissa brought in something else. Okay. That sounds pretty cool. You got someone to blame. You say one love, one light, one need in the night, one love. Get the share, leave you darling, and hit on play. Great song. I love it. I love it. That's great. All right.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Freaking love the feedback.
All right. I think we're done now.
Yeah, it's almost 11 o'clock.
All right, we take a break. We'll
need you to stop talking.
And listen to me.
Stop talking and listen.
Yeah. So
I need you to stop talking and listen to me.
All right, so we'll take a break.
Santa Claus.
Come back. He's done.
Santa's got to go.
All right, so we'll take a break and
Santa's got to go.
We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
MMR spotlights the best rock in Philadelphia with MMR's Local Shots. Hear and see more now at WMMR.com. Keyword, Local Shots.
Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks, Philly.
Nickelback, 93.3 WMMR, their latest song, Bad Stinky Man. No, we were off air. Sometimes we make up words to songs when they're playing, like I'm sure you do too. And that was Bad Stinky Man. But it's actually called San Quentin.
Oh.
It was the name of the song. We should do that sometime. Make up lyrics for words that just for songs that just don't exist. We do that all the time.
That actually goes back to a skit we did for Ricky Schroeder joined NYPD Blue.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So we had a little kid doing the lines.
But Casey and I
yeah.
I don't know, 17 years or something like that have been singing longer, you think?
24 years.
24 years?
It started at Y100 Media.
And every day, we can't even really say it on the air, it's a suck my something or the other.
Yeah.
And not the big one, the voice, the little ones.
I can tell you, when did South Park Bigger, Longer, Uncut come out?
Because that's when it started.
Yeah, because the
Chocolate Shorty Balls?
No, Uncle Effer came out. Oh. And as if the song wasn't bad enough, the very last lyrics are SMB.
Yeah, it's Terrence and Phillip. And the song ends, and then one of them just goes, suck my... And that was hilarious to us. And so we sing... Kathy, you hear us singing that?
Yes, I know, but we have the song from Kim. Do you not sing that? Like, why can't you say
that's
it?
That's an offshoot.
No, we edit it.
Yeah, it's bleeped.
Or it says...
Oh, it's not.
Yeah, not... And that's
Balzac.
Yeah, Harry Balzac.
Hey...
Casey, boy, blank my Harry Balzac, blank. We can't, don't say that part of it.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that
okay.
Weird? You can say Balzac, but you can't say.
Okay.
It's stupid. Right.
All about context.
Anyway, with that,
I was back to the Magna Carta.
Yeah.
I would like to thank Tommy Davidson for being here.
Yeah.
Tommy Davidson is performing at the World Cafe Live tonight. It's music and comedy. And he was a great interview. Excellent interview.
He really was.
An incredible life, and love talking to him when we get the opportunity to. Pierre Robert is here. Hey, man.
Hello.
How
talking
you
about misunderstood lyrics or putting in your own lyrics, I just pulled up the lyrics to Tip of My Tongue, the new song from the Peppers.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And in the chorus, they go, where is it? They go, we've only just begun. Funky monks are on the run. And I've been thinking, we've only just begun, monkeypox is on the run.
Monkeypox is on the run.
Yeah, and that's how I sing it every time.
Why wouldn't you not? Yeah,
it's just, awesome. Well, I mean, it's blurry enough when you hear it that we've only just begun, monkeypox is on the run.
Yeah, I mean, stick with it.
Yeah, that's where I'm going.
It works for you, man.
It works for me, and F them.
I love it. F them.
No static at all.
By the way, Casey heard you yesterday in the... Did you have a moment in the elevator yesterday by yourself?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Okay. No, just a moment of peace and love.
Well, you did say that.
You did.
Yeah, he did hear you actually say peace and love.
And I dropped something, and I cursed really loudly.
Okay. I knew it. I didn't.
I said he probably dropped something.
It went all the way up the shaft of the elevator.
Uh-huh.
I was only on the first floor when I dropped, and you heard it on the fourth floor. My voice carries.
Yeah.
I don't generally get mad at people, but I generally get mad at situations that get out of my control. One time I was in a nail painting phase.
Yeah.
And I had this little fake leopard skin purse that I was carrying around with nail polish in it. And I got out of the car and spilled the purse. And the nail polishes all were running down the little hill here in Bala Cynwyd. And I got out and I started just foul, loud cursing as I'm putting each nail polish back into the fake leopard skin felt purse. And then, and this man is watching me right at the front door because I got a spot right near the front door. And I closed the purse and I walked in. I go, good morning. And he goes, cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo.
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
Pierre, I had a nail polish incident, and I didn't get mad like that. I just got to the point where I like almost cried over a broken bottle of nail polish. It was like the icing on the cake. It was just a series of events that had happened in that moment.
Is.
And then I was running across Fayette Street in Conshohocken, and I had this little bag on me, and the zipper was open, and I didn't know. So as I was running across, everything was falling out, and some guy yelled, and he was like, your stuff. So I ran back. He stopped traffic. I ran back. I picked everything up and I left. And as he was driving away, he goes, there's one more thing. And I had just bought a nail polish from CVS. I was going to get my nails done that day and I wanted that specific color and I had just purchased it. And as he's driving away, another pickup truck is coming in the other direction. And I'm just looking and I'm like, he could go over that. And the wheel hit it and it burst. You heard it pop. And there's still turquoise on Fayette Street at 4th Street in Conshohocken because it was
funny.
My nail polish.
Christ.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
But it's a cascading series of things. It's not the first thing or the second. It's the camel, you know, that breaks the straw's back or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And, or
straw.
Yeah, whatever.
It's the
And then you hit that point, and then you I either explode or I cry, one or the other.
It's the last coffin in the nail, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Now, how about that letter?
Right. Hey, how about that? Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
A as in ass.
Ass.
There you go. A-S-S. Ass.
We're giving away $300, and we give that away on Friday. So let's get it to you. What's happening on your program today?
Never mind. These two crazy kids I used to know, they would see girls and they go, nice ass. And then the other one would go, they were twins, and go, nice dumper.
Nice dumper.
And I'm going, oh, God, that is so foul. Yeah. And it just came to me just now. On the program today, we have Tom Petty, Workforce Blocks. We've got Royal Blood. And if we can find it, I'd like to pull the archive piece from the very first time they played, which is on this very program.
Yes.
Which is cool. It would have been Clarence's birthday today. He would be 81. So we'll do a nice long block of Bruce with Clarence heavy material in it.
Excellent.
All right. And I played you're talking about the new U2. I played the new Peter Gabriel yesterday in its entirety in a nice double shot. It's really cool.
Is it? Wonderful.
Yeah, I'm going to play it again. This morning somewhere before noon.
I would like to hear that. I want to thank our sponsors. President Steve Show is brought to you today by Acme Markets, Fresh Foods, Local Flavors. Also brought to you by Dunkin'. President Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. And brought to you by Burgies Cadillac of Plymouth Meeting. Visit BurgiesCadillac.com today. Tomorrow on our program, we are wide frickin' open.
Frickin' crazy,
I've been told. So we got lots to do tomorrow. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, friend. Bye-bye.
Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Hey, everybody, it's good to have you on the map.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.